Show this Sunday, Mrs. Sunshine?
I got nothing, Mr. Sunshine. What do you have?
I've got nothing.
What do you think Pilar has?
Nothing.
Nothing
but our callers for 2 entire hours. Callers, callers, callers. We want you to call in and stir it up with us this weekend.
So tune in Sunday, 3 to 5, for the Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Lou Miliano. Last month's security breach at the Los Alamos National Lab in New Mexico could be wider than originally believed. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson says a former worker at the lab took home classified material on USB flash drives, and one was found under the mattress in her home.
A federal source who's briefed on the issue says that the information this woman had access to would, quote, tell the terrorists everything they need to know to get a nuclear weapon to fire.
Atkinson says what's troubling is there are USB ports in the lab still active for downloading.
A security expert that's familiar with all of this tells me when you go into a vault with a secret information, those computers shouldn't have no way to have information transferred, to hook up to the internet or anything like that. And yet still in some of the most secret places at Los Alamos National Laboratory, apparently there still is that access on these top secret computers.
Randall Larson's a CBS News Homeland Security consultant.
It's a lack of accountability. We've seen this time and time again. And I'm not sure you can point to anyone who's been fired or anyone who's been put in prison for allowing our most secret information to leak out.
And why, he says, this won't be the last time. A leak or a loss of another sort at Starbucks.
If your partnership with Starbucks began after December 31st,
the Starbucks helpline. Starbucks has lost track of 4 laptop computers, including information on about 60,000 current and former U.S. employees. Names, addresses, and social securities. Democrats are increasingly buoyed by polls showing their chances of regaining control of the House and maybe even taking over the Senate are improving, heading into Tuesday's midterm elections. President Bush didn't let it distract his campaigning for Republicans today, the second day of a 6-day road trip.
It said Iraq is a distraction in the war on terror. That's what the Democrats say. I believe Iraq is central to the war on terror.
According to his office, Ohio Congressman Bob Ney has resigned. Ney's a Republican. He pleaded guilty to taking money, gifts, and favors in return for official actions on behalf of disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff and his clients. The former president of the National Association of Evangelicals says some of the accusations are true, just not sex with men and no use of drugs. He admitted to KUSA-TV he did get a massage from his accuser and buy methamphetamines from him. Ted Haggard also stepped down as the head of the New Life Church, saying they are both positions dependent on trust. Loading bodies was the task today. In just a day and a half, 83 bodies of apparent torture victims have turned up in Iraq's capital. And CBS News correspondent Kevin McCormick says the fatalities continue into the ranks of Marines and soldiers.
A military statement says only the latest casualties were 3 Marines in Anbar province. That follows an earlier statement of another Marine casualty there and the deaths of 3 soldiers killed in a roadside bomb in eastern Baghdad. All were killed yesterday.
This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
Stone is fragging, a practice that gained notoriety during the Vietnam War. Enlisted, taking out their anger on officers. CBS News reporter Jim Krasula says the only case of fracking in the war in Iraq has moved another space.
A military statement says only
in a brief court appearance at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Staff Sergeant Alberto Martinez refused to enter a plea. He faces two counts of murder, accused of killing two superior officers in Iraq a year and a half ago. Investigators say he had a grudge, mad that he had been removed from his command. It's the first time a soldier has been tried for killing a superior officer during the Iraq War.
Restaurant tomatoes are what federal health officials blame for that salmonella outbreak that hit close to 200 people. But the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says they can't pinpoint any specific restaurant. They're now trying to figure out where the bad tomatoes came from. I'm Lou Miliano, CBS News.
And now another Yellow Tail.
Recently, while planning an engagement bash for my best friend, I asked my husband Frank to get enough yellowtail for 30. Wouldn't you know it, he ordered yellowtail sushi. Sushi! Fortunately, there was still time to get yellowtail wine, so I didn't have to toast my best friend with raw fish.
Yellowtail fact number 12. Yellowtail wine is named for the yellow-footed rock wallaby, a small kangaroo, not sushi. Imported by W.J. Deutsch & Sons, White Plains, New York. Please drink responsibly.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
B. Collins!
And now, live from the Left Coast, it's another edition of the talk show nobody asked for. However, it was recommended by my therapist. We call this the Peter B. Collins Show. It's live, unscripted, unrehearsed, progressive talk radio. And at every moment, you're invited to participate. It's a live telephone talk show, and the telephone number is easy to remember. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Oh, we got a lot to talk about today. Bob Ney finally resigned from Congress. He hasn't been sentenced yet, but we'll be watching that one carefully. And Ted Haggard says, I didn't have sex with that man. I just bought a little meth from him, but I didn't use the meth. Right, Ted? On our program today, William Hartung will join us first, and then Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs, will be with us for an hour. There's a lot to talk about. Was it Prime Minister Maliki who gave the order directly to American troops to pull up those checkpoints that were blockading Sadr City in Baghdad? And will General Casey next week, maybe even Wednesday morning, demand more troops in Iraq? Those are some of the questions we'll cover with Scott Dick coming up later this hour. Also on the program today, a fascinating guest, Ron Jones, many years ago conducted an experiment at a high school in Palo Alto, California. An experiment about fascist behavior. And it's called The Wave. It's an experiment on creeping fascism and, you know, how the Holocaust could happen here or anywhere. And he's going to be joining us coming up next hour. Our final hour today, Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com, in his weekly visit. We're going to talk about election protection, election integrity, and already reports from early voting glitches are coming in from across the country. And we are preparing for a major electoral meltdown. We're not talking about the results yet. We're talking about the process. And on Tuesday, Peter B. Collins and Brad Friedman will be hosting a radio nighttime marathon. We're going to go from 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Pacific time, and I'm pleased to announce that KGOE in Eureka, our flagship station, KRXA 540 in Monterey, and KSAC 1240 Talk City in Sacramento will be carrying at least part of our broadcast, and we're putting the word out to stations across the country, so it should expand. It'll be on the web, too. We'll update you on those details as we get closer, but we expect serious problems with the electoral process on Tuesday, and we're going to cover that front and center for you here in our special broadcast. We'll kick it off at the regular time here on the Peter B. Collins Show, so tune in and join us at that time. William D. Hartung is a senior fellow at the World Policy Institute at the New School and director of the Institute's Arms Trade Resource Center. 2 years ago, he published the book, How Much Are You Making on the War, Daddy? Bill Hartung, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, thanks for having me.
And we should mention that you're an occasional stand-up comic. When was your last gig?
I'm trying to think. I only do them at kind of events, you know, and I'm doing one for the 10th anniversary of a think tank I'm involved with in a couple weeks.
Uh-huh.
I haven't done too many clubs lately because they only give you 5 minutes, and I have a hard time restraining myself to 5 minutes.
Well, will that be videotaped and available on YouTube?
I should do that. I've never done that.
Well, and then, you know, we could send it over to Jon Stewart, because they're always looking for wonks with a sense of humor.
This is true, as long as you don't, you know, tell more jokes than Jon.
That's true. That's an important rule. On the Colbert Report, though, they kind of flipped that rule, because he plays that weird O'Reilly-like character.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I wanted to talk to you today about a piece that you posted just a few days ago at tompaine.com, maybe available on other sites and blogs around the webosphere. But you reported something that I had not read about or heard about, and it was a major vote in the United Nations with the United States on the losing end. The vote was 139-1. And this is an issue that you would think the United States would be vigilant on. After all, we talk till people are blue in the face about terrorism, about the threat of weapons of mass destruction. But there are a lot of other weapons that are sold on the world market, many of which originate in these United States, which pose a real threat to peace and security and ultimately the safety of American troops.
Well, this is what was amazing. I mean, first of all, the vote was only about having some discussions at the UN towards a treaty on the arms trade. Mm-hmm. And the discussions would go on for several years, and countries would be consulted, there'd be an experts group. So it wasn't even really a vote on the treaty. It was a vote to talk about having a treaty.
Oh, wow.
And the U.S. couldn't even handle that. You know, I mean, they didn't want to even begin a discussion about it. And I think, you know, unfortunately, despite the fact that most of the deaths of U.S. troops in Iraq come from AK-47s, despite the fact that U.S. Aid to Afghanistan helped create the Bin Laden network, despite the fact that a lot of U.S. weapons have come back to be used against their own troops in places like Somalia, they don't seem to learn the lesson. You know, the government executive branch and the Pentagon look at the short-term kind of issues. Well, it'll, you know, it'll prop up our relationship with this particular country. It'll be, you know, good business for our weapons contractors. We'll be able to operate more efficiently with these countries if they're part of one of our, you know, huge coalitions that they build.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though this kind of a treaty would benefit the United States, it would benefit certainly our forces, there's this sort of short-sightedness about it. And, of course, the final nail in the coffin is that the NRA has an international presence, and they don't want to see this because they think people are going to come and take their guns if there's a treaty against selling AK-47s to human rights abusers.
So the NRA has juice on an issue that really doesn't affect domestic ownership or use of weapons, but this is international trade in small arms, and yet they have a position and they hold sway?
Well, they particularly with the Bush administration, John Bolton, before he was UN rep, spoke at the first UN conference on small arms and light weapons, and he basically gave sort of an ode to the gun lobby's version of the Second Amendment, and they had NRA people as official public members of the delegation, which they did in the recent conference last summer also. So the NRA is right there with them, you know, and their argument seems to be they don't want any kind of weapons to be controlled because it'll be sort of a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, the black helicopters will be circling their yard, landing and coming to get their handguns.
Yeah. The NRA is a great source for rational thinking. This is not at all related to what we're discussing, but I'll tell you anyway, Bill. A few months back, there was a church shooting, I believe, in Texas. And a couple of days later, I was listening on satellite radio to the Gun Talk program. And it wasn't Wayne LaPierre, but it was an executive of the NRA who was hosting the program. And he offered the point of view that what we need to make our churches safer is to make sure that there's an armed individual in every church in America.
Well, why don't they just go a step further and put a gun in every hymnal? You know, I mean, why stop there?
Well, when the Amish school tragedy occurred a couple of weeks back, there were actual proposals from NRA spokespersons saying, well, we need to arm teachers. That's the way to end the problem of schoolhouse shootings.
Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway, I always worry when the NRA has influence over things, you know, out of its immediate purview because they do enough damage on the things that are part of their immediate purview. We're talking with William D. Hartung. He's from the World Policy Institute in New York. And we're talking about this vote at the United Nations last week. It was 139-1. The U.S. was the one. There were 24 abstentions. Can you recall some of the nations who abstained, Bill, and what their rationale might have been?
Well, there were some important countries, China, Russia, I believe Israel. They're all also major arms suppliers. Russia has strong economic reasons to want to sell arms. China is a big small arms supplier, and they think it gives them influence in places like Africa and elsewhere. So in some ways not that different from some of the reasons the United States government used, but they didn't want to stand out there as opponents because it's more embarrassing, whereas I guess our government is not capable of being embarrassed. So.
Well, the current one, I think you're right. We're going to take a quick break and return with Bill Hartung. If you have a question or comment about this issue or other international issues, he's a policy wonk, and he'd be happy to comment. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's our toll-free number here at the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
This is the irresistible power of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. 20 minutes past the hour. Our guest is William D. Hartung, senior fellow at the World Policy Institute. And Bill Hartung's been talking with us about a piece that he posted at TomPaine.com about a vote on a resolution to talk about the idea of putting together an arms trade treaty at the United Nations. And the U.S. was on the losing end of that vote, a very lonely position, the only nation to officially vote against it. And in your piece, Bill, you point out that a 2005 report conducted by your institute, the World Policy Institute, found that of the largest U.S. arms recipients in the developing world, over 70% were undemocratic regimes, major human rights abusers, or both. Now, that doesn't seem to be consistent with our policy of promoting liberation and freedom and democracy all over the world.
This is the problem. I think that's one of the reasons that the administration doesn't like to talk about this. And at the moment, there's enough other crises in the world that they've been able to get away with it. But I think this UN vote, since it sort of sticks out like a sore thumb, might create some opportunity to start criticizing this policy, which is, you know, completely contradicts their rhetoric. And even when they have a country that's got a parliament that, you know, has votes, then they try to twist their arm to buy weapons that they don't want, so they don't even respect the democracies that exist. There was a case in Taiwan recently where they kind of scolded the parliament and said they were going to be watching very closely if they didn't increase their military budget and take up a U.S. Arms offer that's been hanging around since the late 90s. So whether it's arming dictatorships, whether it's, you know, twisting the arms of democracies, there's no respect for the principle of democracy in the way they sell weapons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff joins us from Phoenix with a comment. Jeff, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Bill Hartung.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Good.
I was just sitting here, a couple of things came to mind, actually, but I just want to answer the question about whatever happened with Venezuela in the getting to the United Nations.
To the Security Council?
Right, the Security Council. Yeah.
As I understand it, they have been unable to generate enough support, and I think that they have shifted their support behind Panama as the Central or South American nation to be named to the Security Council. But let's ask Bill.
Well, yeah, Guatemala and Venezuela were sort of slugging it out for that position, and then they compromised, and Panama, and it looks like they're going to get it.
Is that finalized, Bill?
No, but it's pretty much a done deal. I mean, I don't think it's been officially, you know, blessed as yet, but it's...
And who's running Panama now? I don't even know.
That's an excellent question. Noriega's somewhere underground in Alabama, you know, I don't know.
Oh, I thought we had him in Miami.
I don't know. He doesn't get to do a lot of interviews.
Right, yeah. And hopefully that skin condition cleared up.
well, I was hoping that Venezuela got in there. And secondly, there's something else I want to mention, which I found kind of strange. Remember when the North Koreans, they detonated that bomb?
Yeah.
And for a few days, they said they wasn't sure whether it was a nuclear bomb or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then China and Russia reported that it was not a nuclear explosion, because apparently there's a special equipment and a special plane that they have to fly overhead that picks up radiation in the air.
Right.
Now, they said that it wasn't. A few days later, Bush is saying that it's been confirmed.
Right. It came out on the Friday following the Sunday detonation. Our government affirmed that they believe it was a nuclear detonation. And, Bill, I had some of the same skepticism because I wondered if they couldn't just put some TNT together with a little bit of uranium or plutonium and create a little bit of fallout to, dummy up a nuclear explosion.
But now, listen, think about it.
Well,
hold on, Jeff. Oh, go ahead, Bill.
It's either that, or I think it may just be that it was a failed test. I mean, the explosive power was 30 to 60 times less when countries like Pakistan or India did their first tests. And I think maybe they wanted to sort of send a message, you know, that if you don't deal with us in a straightforward fashion, we're going to, you know, speed ahead on our nuclear program. But I think to some degree, it was sort of a bluff and a sign of weakness on their part, that they're not nearly as far along as they had claimed to be.
Yeah. Jeff, thanks for your call today. I appreciate that. Now, Bill, North Korea has agreed to return to the six-party talks. Most Americans don't know it because they've been distracted by John Kerry and his un-American remarks that were aimed at President Bush but twisted to be targeted at the troops. Just kind of bizarre pre-political spin. At any rate, North Korea has agreed to return. Is it China that squeezed Kim Jong-il to come back to the table?
Well, I think China was probably the primary factor. They're a big trade partner. They provide oil to North Korea. In terms of any kind of sanctions, they're the main country that has real leverage. And the Chinese, the Russians, the South Koreans, the Japanese, nobody wants North Korea to get a bomb. I think the main problem has been the Bush administration has been very slow to, they let 18 months go by before even engaging in talks. And as the talks have gone along, that they haven't really put many concrete proposals on the table. And, of course, they haven't stopped this kind of veiled notion that maybe they'll just overthrow the government there, which makes it hard to have talks with somebody if they're holding a gun to your head. So.
Mm-hmm. And do you have an impression that the recent developments in North Korea discouraged, dissuaded, or at least delayed the Bush administration from a direct military confrontation with Iran?
I don't know how closely they're related. I think Iran poses its own problems for the Bush administration. Most of the knowledgeable military people don't think it makes sense to do it. They think they can't just sort of pick out certain facilities and take them out with airstrikes, and therefore if they were going to have an impact, they might have to send in some troops on the ground. This is a big country with a lot of ways to exert influence between oil and support for Hezbollah and so forth. So a lot of the top military brass are saying, you know, this is not the military option is just not going to work here. It's going to backfire.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a lot of ideologues, around the administration who still want to do it.
Well, we have two carrier groups allegedly in the Gulf and one in the Eastern Mediterranean, and some of our sources indicated that it was possible that the Bush administration would launch missiles or some other sorts of assaults on Iran. And my point is that North Korea surfaced and forced us into a diplomatic process because it doesn't make any sense to try to use military action on the Korean Peninsula. And therefore, it created, in my view, some problems for the Bush administration to fast-track military action against Iran.
Well, that may well be. And, of course, you can't assume that this administration is going to be logical. So even though the...
Yeah, they claim they're going to try to fix Social Security again, too.
you would think after Iraq they would think twice. But before they entered a third war, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran. But you can't really count on logic after you've seen their record. So
yeah.
Sometimes when we just sort of look at all the factors that weigh against it, that doesn't mean they won't do it. And, of course,
I have been guilty of rational thinking before. Bill, I'm out of time. Thank you very much for joining us today. I want to direct people to TomPaine.com. Read the piece, We Arm the World. We've been talking with William D. Hartung. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Coming up next, Scott Dick on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunedarealestate.com.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Tom Hartman. Bush's tax cut of $550 billion. Just do the math on this for a minute. If you have $550 billion and you divide that by a million, it's 550,000.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
So if you say that you're going to create 1 million jobs with a $550 billion tax cut, you're saying that you're going to give tax cuts to the tune of $550,000 per job. Now, do you think anybody could get elected on a platform as insane as that?
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Every week, we invite Scott Dick to join us. He served first in the Marines and then retired from the Army as a major. And he is our contributor on veterans and military affairs. There's no shortage of topics that he wants to cover today. You're invited to join this conversation at any time. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. And particularly if you are serving or have served in the United States military, we give you special invitation to join this conversation as a well-informed and dedicated individual. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-5255. 8372, and Scott's going to be with us for the next hour, and you're welcome to participate if there's a subject we talk about that you want to comment on, or if there's something else related to military and veterans matters that you'd like to bring forward. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Peter.
Lots been going on this week, and we've got a lot to cover. One of the first things I wanted to talk with you about is understanding the chain of command in an occupation situation. And I want to be frank, I did acknowledge this yesterday, but for people who may not have heard it, on Wednesday, I misspoke. I said something that was incorrect, and I corrected it yesterday, and I'll correct it again. And that is that my first impression of the recent events in Baghdad, where American troops pulled up the checkpoints that they had used to blockade Sadr City, a couple of callers suggested that the Prime Minister of Iraq gave that order directly to American forces. And I said, no, that's not true. Well, as I did more research and listened to interviews on other outlets, I became persuaded that, in fact, Maliki used his position as Supreme Commander of Troops in Iraq to issue an order, and it was embraced by General Casey. What I'd like you to tell me is exactly how those things work and whether it is fair to construe the situation in Iraq right now that Maliki can actually order American troops to do or not do certain things.
Well, Peter, sovereign governments that have foreign troops occupying them or assisting them, however you want to call it, phrase it, have always had that ability, and this is the way it works. There is an ambassador in Iraq, and he is equivalent to a four-star general, and he has say over all troops in that country. Now, you can say what you can say. You can say what you can say about the combatant command reporting to the DOD and the Secretary of Defense and the National Command Authority. And actually, there's a second chain of command that provided tremendous problems in Vietnam. The ambassador is the senior military commander there, as much as people don't want to hear that. And it was very easy for Maliki to talk to the ambassador and get that order. It would have been quicker than going the other route.
Mm-hmm.
So that they purposely make ambassadors equivalent of four-star rank, and they do. He could have easily just called Casey and said, okay, take those out. And it would have been, I'm ordering you to do that. It would have been, I need you to take those out, General. And the general saying, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I didn't quite realize that. I didn't know Zalmay Khalilzad is the U.S. ambassador, and he is very tight with the neocons in the Bush administration. He was a signer of the Project for a New American Century documents, and he first served as our ambassador to Afghanistan, and then when Negroponte was made the uber czar of intelligence, they moved Khalilzad over to Baghdad. So he technically is the commander-in-chief of the forces in theater?
Well, I wouldn't use that term because it gets people all riled up. But like in Vietnam, the ambassador could stop or start military operations with the wave of the big hand over the little map, as I've said before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the same. They call it the in-country team, and the senior guy in-country is the American ambassador. He answers directly to the president. And if Maliki would have called him and said, I need these taken out, he would have said, all right, let me think about it. And then he would pick up the phone and said, General Casey, take these out.
Mm-hmm.
So you could call it direct intervention or his exit. And he might have had to jump up and down on his desk. Sometimes you have to do that, we say. You know, we say when in the military, sometimes you have to jump up and down on your desk. And he could have used his position. He could have said one of two things. Would you please do this for me, Ambassador? And the ambassador said, well, I don't know. And then he said, look, I can always exercise my right as a supreme commander. Do you really want that to happen?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when ambassadors talk to ambassadors and head of government, they have, there's all sorts of dancing around, but in effect, the guy gets what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Now, we know that last Saturday, Bush interrupted his usually all-leisure weekends for some political talk and for a video conference with Maliki. And I'm curious, and this is only speculation, but do you have a hunch, Scott, that Bush is trying to do things to make Maliki look more independent, and that perhaps the administration and the military command had reached the decision to lift this blockade of Sadr City for various reasons, and they decided to do it in a manner that would play to Maliki's domestic appeal, and maybe they have figured out that if he can stand up to the United States on things that we don't care about, that it will benefit him in his perception of leadership and independence among the Iraqi people.
Sure, that happens all the time. I'll give you a good example. Very famous case of the deployment of Pershing 2s into Germany during the Cold War. Everybody put up a big stink. And the Germans put up a big stink. They put a stink up publicly. They raised a hue and cry. They didn't want new nuclear weapons in the country, blah, blah. But secretly, what was going on is they were telling them, yeah, deploy them. So it was all for domestic consumption. Of course, they had to stand up, try to stand up to the U.S. They had to complain. But in effect, there's a lot of literature out there that shows that they were actually telling the U.S., go ahead. I mean, they didn't exercise the tools they had to stop it, and they could have stopped it. But at the same time, the public was thinking their government was against the deployment.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they do that. You know, that's a way to protect your local government and still get what you want done. And these little things are, you know, these are little sort of bones that they throw to somebody who's feeling put upon. And Maliki should be feeling put upon.
Mm-hmm. Because that was my first suspicion, was that this was something that was orchestrated with direct approval from Washington, and that it was then packaged in a way that would attempt to strengthen Maliki's hand.
Well, the American ambassador lives probably on the video teleconferencing machine in the suite with D.C. So that feed, you know, is probably active 24 hours a day with a guy talking to, you know, the our central government about all sorts of different things that need to be done. And I'll give you a good example where they fall down. Casey said last week that the Iraqi security forces still needed 12 to 18 months. Peter, we've heard that before. I think last year and the year before that.
Oh, yeah. And Tom Friedman kept telling us we just need 6 more months. The next 6 months will determine everything.
But they let the Iraqi president come out and say that in Paris that Iraqi security forces would be ready to assume full responsibility in 2 to 3 years.
Right.
Now, that's a huge disconnect. That means somebody's not living in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody's lying, whichever. Somebody's either delusional or lying. And I just don't think it's the Talibani.
Now, I just got to go back to your image of Zal Khalilzad in the green zone with the 24/7 video conference. And Cheney says, Zal, yeah, you can go to the bathroom, but come right back.
Yeah, and, you know, wearing his sweats and tennis shoes. I mean, you know, he's just, that camera's not sacred. You know, just show my head. Don't show any part of me because I'm wearing, you know, I just got out of the, off the, because he can't run because it's too dangerous. Off the mm-hmm. treadmill, I'm a little bit sweaty. And you can you imagine how many times they call him, Peter?
Oh.
I wouldn't want that guy's job for $10 million a year.
No, wouldn't be worth it. Now, Scott, you and I have discussed this on a number of occasions recently, that if the administration is serious about its alleged victory plan in Iraq, that the only change in policy that they could be considering for our post-election entertainment is to announce that we're shipping more troops there. Now, there is a problem that we don't have a lot more troops to ship. We can play some games by shortchanging people on their time off and by, you know, moving civilians around and trying to take some of the posts in Germany and elsewhere and shift people over. But we don't have a lot of free troops to commit to Iraq right now. That said, do you think that is the announcement that we should expect in the next week or two?
No. Right now, Peter, they're telling this lie again. Right, they're saying that the troop strength is around 152,000, but that's because of turnover. When I mean turnover, that's the new, what they call left seat, right seat, where the old guy sits in the right seat and the new guy's in the left seat, and they go out and they survey their kingdoms and their fiefdoms, and then when they're all done, the other guys leave.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at 152,000, but expect that to drop is what they're saying. Now, it doesn't, the math isn't right, because before when they had 136,000, they needed to keep people over. After they promised them they could go home, they had to move troops to Baghdad, they had to shift people around. It started creeping up, it got to 142,000, then 148,000, and then when they asked about it, they said, oh no, this is just turnover. Man, this is a long turnover.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're saying, well, we're trying to get Baghdad under control, but we said on this program, that proves the commander's point, they need more troops. So now it's at 152. Now they're back to saying, well, no, because Baghdad violence is not as great as it was before. So this, we expect these troop levels to come down.
Well, the only reduction in violence was during the lockdown of Sadr City. And as soon as they lifted that blockade, the contract killings, the dead bodies showing up in the morning, have returned to levels pretty close to where they were 2 weeks ago.
But if you listen to General Caldwell, He said some measurements, that's like Fox Television, some measurements of violence in Iraq has indicated a decrease since the holy month of Ramadan ended early last week, including a 23% drop in casualties across the country from the week before. The statistics are promising, but I've said before, 1 week does not constitute a trend, he cautioned. So if you go to the Boston Globe in yesterday's edition, Alistair MacDonald says, Iraqi government reports big jump in civilian deaths. Statistics issued by the Interior Ministry on the November on the number of Iraqis killed in political violence put civilian deaths last month at 1,289, nearly 42 a day, up 18% from September, itself a record for this particular tally. So this is a problem when they can't coordinate their numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now the Interior Ministry, they're trying to make sure that all of their, if they're going to do statistics, it's going to come out of one place.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing what the Department of Defense did with recruiting statistics.
Well, I'm really confused because in the last 2 weeks you could get whiplash listening to various members of the Bush administration talk about their intentions for the future of Iraq. And while they ridicule Democrats as cut-and-run people, they do put messages out there with different timelines, benchmarks, and prospects for reducing, if not withdrawing, American troops. And then we hear the president talk about his flexibility, and he's ready to consider new policies for Iraq. And then he just, rules out the key elements. For example, this week he said that Rumsfeld and Cheney will be with him until the end of this term. Well, a lot of people were hoping that the Baker Commission was going to be able to gently persuade this president that it's time for Rummy to go. And, you know, likewise, Bush has ruled out partitioning the country. He's virtually ruled out most of the things that intelligent people have to offer as different approaches to this war in Iraq.
Peter, these are all, you spent many, many, shows on this issue. This is a framing issue. And if you have a base, and many Americans sit in this category, if you can hear the selective kinds of things that the administration is putting out about success, and we're going to do this, we're going to be flexible, and you have a certain frame, a way of looking at it, you want to believe your government is honest, you want to believe that what they're doing in Iraq is noble, and then you'll just disregard all of these other truths that are out there, the huge amount of casualties, the incredible stupidity of the administration, there's no strategy, et cetera, et cetera. And so people, a lot of Americans are being completely hoodwinked by this, and it's only people who are listening to this guy, over a continuous, consistent period of time that we detect all of these inconsistencies and downright they're falsehoods, they're lies, they're just, it's nonsense.
We're going to take a break and continue with Scott Dick. If you have a question or comment, you can join us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if you care to, drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Jim Ross, president and founder of National Real Estate Holding. Jim has been on our show the last several weeks to talk about wealth building and offering real estate investments in some great parts of the United States. If you want to learn how to make money in a down real estate market, this show is for you. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10. For more information on this show and how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. 408-892-3376.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Thank you.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Thank you, Freddie Boom Boom Cannon. I'm Peter B. Collins. 10 minutes away from the hour, we continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And we're joined by Roy in Phoenix. Roy, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing great, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just a Louisiana person stuck in Phoenix for a little while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's beautiful here. It's not raining.
Well, that's good.
Hey, I was kind of wondering about these terrible Republicans with the whole John Kerry debacle.
Right.
Now, what I'm wondering is, if John Kerry apologized, how exactly are the Republicans, you know, kicking him around?
Well, it's a bizarre sequence of events because John Kerry essentially apologized for having his remarks mercilessly twisted by his political opponents.
Well,
I find that an unusual thing to...
And it's exactly what the Republicans say that he said, and he never even laughed at his own joke or tried to correct himself. And then he apologized for the joke. So I'm kind of confused as to... you know, why y'all say the Republicans are knifing him in the back over this?
Well, because they took his remark out of context, and they claimed that he was insulting the troops, when in fact he was attempting to insult only one person, a guy named George W. Bush.
Who's stuck in Iraq.
Never
I say the Republicans' cumulus is to give them credit.
Say that again, Scott.
To give the idea that the Republicans are humorless is they're less than humorless. I don't know how you could be. I mean, the idea that George Bush and his cronies didn't get the joke. If you don't study well, you'll end up stuck in Iraq. He was talking about Bush.
Yep.
And if anybody deserves to apologize to the troops, it's Bush, not Kerry.
How come Kerry apologized then?
Well, because of this...
because of the media firestorm, and because it's so close to Election Day that a bunch of Democrats said, please, get this over with. We don't want this to linger for a week.
Hiding, huh?
What?
I said sort of like Nancy Pelosi is in hiding.
Well, that's not true.
That's not true.
No, that is a canard being promoted by the right wing.
Oh, when was the last time she was seen in public?
Tuesday night.
Where at?
At the Warfield Theater in San Francisco.
Really?
And why do you need to know? You're just swallowing Republican talking points.
I'm right along with y'all's.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm going right along with y'all's. Y'all keep saying that the Republican stabbed Kerry in the back, and yet he apologized. And
Who said he stabbed him in the back?
What he said is
Republicans are humorless, and they didn't get the joke.
Public school system that, you know, you just think is the grandest thing in the world.
Well, I don't know where you get off there, Roy, but congratulations and have a nice day. Dave, join us next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go right ahead.
Well, that's a tough act to follow, but I have to wonder each time that I hear a credible discussion involving what's going on in Iraq. The question, what are we doing there? You know, everything about that has been a lie, and it is very, very profitable to the small corporate special interests that are there and this government. And everything about this government is taking our treasury money and putting it in the their own pockets. And I have to piece together that that's what this war is all about. One more way to rob this country blind and give it to the very, very richest of people.
Well, Dave, if you have a chance, read Paul Krugman's column in the New York Times today. It's a good one about this very issue. And I hope you'll check that out. Thanks for your call. Now to Howard in Carmel. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi, Howard.
I've got to say that there's two things that Mr. Kerry has done that this Chicken Hawk Cheney has never done. And number one is apologize. And number two is serve in the damn military. For Cheney to go, you know, there's been so many Democratic veterans that this administration has trashed. How dare Cheney talk about Kerry insulting the troops when this administration is insulting the troops by every action they do.
Now, Howard and Peter, let me jump in there for a second.
Go ahead, Scott.
Howard just said, serving in the damn military. Now, if I was a Republican media idiot, I would turn that into Howard insults the military by referring to him as the damn military. And that's what they did.
And yeah, that's the kind of stuff they do.
Yeah, exactly. And Howard, I got what you meant. And your frustration is it's the four deferment Cheney, the damn four deferment Cheney that didn't serve in the military, not the damn military.
Well, I'm sorry, it's not the damn military. I served in the military, and I'm insulted by everything this administration does. They never served in the military. What is it that the Republicans in Congress and in the White House and in the administration have served in the military one-third as much as the Democrats in the administration?
Well, not only that, Howard. How is it that they're able to create this huge smokescreen about a phony insult on the troops in Iraq, and it doesn't remind people, yeah, we got 150,000 troops stuck in Iraq, and they're dying at the rate of 106 a month? That's what people should think about, not some botched joke by John Kerry or his failure to properly explain it.
Yeah, that's the real insult.
Yeah.
It's what demagogues do, and that's what they are, demagogues.
Yeah, thank you, Howard. Go ahead, Scott.
It's just the statistics is disgusting. The average age is 24. A lot of them are teenagers, 18, 19, 20. And the Bush should apologize for sending these kids on their second, third, and fourth tours.
Yeah, I agree. Bush is the one who owes us an apology on this demagoguery. Scott, about 2 minutes to go before our break. I wanted to give you a chance here to sketch out some of the concerns you have about budget issues and how they're ultimately going to impact our veterans.
Well, people are saying that, mostly conservatives, that somehow the domestic spending has exploded, and that's what's causing the deficits. And yet there's evidence, ample evidence. It's hard to find. It's difficult to read, but it's the deficits a result of tax cuts. And Congress brought, they okayed $100 billion worth of tax cuts, and then did $135 billion for tax cuts, $100 billion in spending reductions. Where they cut the spending, it's going to be tough, and they're saying that in the next 40 years, we're going to get so deep into debt that the financial markets are not going to allow it, and so we're going to have to make some real ugly budget decisions. Things that are unthinkable today, we're going to have to address then. And one of those areas is Veterans Affairs funding that gets cut to just a huge amount.
Mm-hmm.
Now, veterans are leaving the military now. They have PTSD. There are some troops that are already hitting the streets. A lot of literature out there about these kids hitting the streets. They're homeless. A lot of psychological casualties. And what we're saying is we're just throwing them out with the trash because we're giving the top 1% in the United States all of the money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that's coming from.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that a little more in the next segment. We also have some other issues to talk about related to military and veterans affairs right after the top of the hour. If you'd like to talk with Scott Dick, he's with us until half past the next hour. And you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, good looking. tell you what I got cooking, Dinners Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinners Ready?
That's right, Dinners Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A young woman with classified data from Los Alamos.
The information this woman had access to would tell the terrorists everything they need to know to get a nuclear weapon to fire.
Reverend Haggard insists there was no sex with that man.
I went there for a massage.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A routine drug bust in Los Alamos, New Mexico, in a trailer park last month turned up classified information from the nation's main nuclear weapons lab. Turns out it was a very serious security breach. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson has an update.
22-year-old Jessica Quintana hasn't been arrested or charged with anything yet, but sources tell CBS News they're very concerned based on the access she had at Los Alamos National Laboratory. Quintana was a contractor with high security or Q clearance that allowed her to see classified documents about underground testing for all the warheads in our nuclear arsenal. Sources say she also had something called Sigma 15 clearance, allowing her access to documents explaining how to deactivate locks on a nuclear weapon. It's not known if any of that data was in the documents Quintana had in her home, but one federal official recently briefed on the issue says it's devastating.
A statement from Los Alamos National Laboratory says the matter is being treated with the utmost seriousness, but none of the documents were top secret and they did not include any of the most sensitive nuclear weapons information. Now this.
I'll admit it. I'm as selfish as they come. Because when it comes to my small business, no one else is looking out for me. That's why I partnered with Dell. Dell gave me the technology I need to help me make my customers happy. We not only built the perfect solution for today, but helped map out a plan for succeeding tomorrow. After all, business is a game of survival of the fittest, and I plan on winning.
At Dell, we design small business solutions with one company in mind, yours. Dell, purely you. Learn more at DellRadio.com today.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game opens for legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
Is Reverend Ted Haggard a hypocrite?
People want to know, how do you have a good family? It is not hard. You find a person of the opposite sex, and you make a lifelong commitment to them.
That's Haggard preaching before he was forced to step aside as pastor of the New Life Church in Colorado Springs, while the church investigates the charges made by this man.
He had a relationship with me. We had gay sex.
Mike Jones is a male prostitute in Denver who claims Haggard paid him for sex on an almost monthly basis for 3 years. At first, the evangelical preacher denied knowing Jones. Today, he modified his story.
I called him to buy some meth, but I threw it away.
Haggard told KUSA Television he was tempted by methamphetamine.
I was buying it for me, but I never used it.
Haggard was interviewed while sitting in an SUV with his wife and three of their 5 children. In addition to the meth, Haggard said he went to Jones for a massage, but insisted again there was no sex. The campaign trail took President Bush to Missouri today.
I urge you to do your duty as a citizen and vote.
And then to Iowa, where the message was the same. He said the Democrats are offering harsh criticism, but no plan for victory in Iraq.
I'm Dan Revive. With the Iraq War as one of the top issues, about 90 military veterans are running for Congress. 10 served in Iraq, including one Republican, Tom O'Donohue in Virginia, who says voters want a plan to bring home the troops.
Then do that without destabilizing the entire region.
A Democrat candidate in Illinois, Tammy Duckworth, lost both her legs piloting an Army helicopter in Iraq.
I bring a unique voice to this debate. I bring a unique voice to the race because I can ask those questions that no one else can unless you've served on the ground.
She says voters ask, why are we in Iraq? Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Republican Congressman Bob Ney of Ohio, who pleaded guilty to corruption charges in the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal, today resigned his seat. The tall buildings of Manhattan create funnels for wind, and that, investigators now believe, is why New York Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle and his flight instructor lost control of their small plane last month. Both men died when they crashed into a high-rise apartment building.
At the end of the day, what you have here is a set of factors that really made it impossible for even an accomplished pilot to safely pull off that turn. They were in a narrow corridor, they had a strong crosswind, they had high speed, and simply not enough room to safely turn around.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr, no one in the building or on the ground was hurt in that crash. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
Mary Nelson has to mail out 200 letters and 16 packages with a mail pickup staring at her in 37 minutes. Panic? Not Mary. She just picked up some new Avery Easy Peel mailing labels. Look at her go. She prints the labels, grabs the edges, and peels them off in a flash. Zip, zip, zip. No picking, just peeling. And the new Avery Wizard software makes formatting her job even faster. It's free at Avery.com. New Avery Easy Peel mailing labels. Saves time, saves headaches, and saves the day.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm Peter B. 6 minutes after the hour, it's our weekly briefing from Scott Dick on military veterans affairs. And if you'd like to talk with us, Scott Dick with us till the bottom of the hour. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And, Scott, I just wanted to follow up. We mentioned a caller, Dave, a few minutes back about the op-ed pieces in today's New York Times. They're actually two interesting ones. I took a little jab at Tom Friedman earlier because he has repeatedly written columns saying, oh, the next 3 to 6 months are crucial about Iraq. And he finally gave up and called for Plan B about 3 months ago. And his take on the attacks on John Kerry is really interesting. The subhead reads, "We're not as stupid as Bush thinks." And he opens the column by saying, George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Don Rumsfeld think you're stupid. Yes, they do. They think they can take a mangled quip about President Bush in Iraq by Kerry, a man who is not even running for office, but who, unlike Bush and Cheney, never ran away from combat service, and get you to vote against all Democrats in this election. It is remarkable. And the other piece that I referenced is Paul Krugman's column, and he basically points out that Bechtel is pulling out of Iraq. They have earned $2.3 billion, but they lost 52 employees there, and they basically have simply given up, and they're getting out. And Paul Krugman thinks of that as a symbol. Do you think that's significant when the contractors say they've had enough?
Well, $2.2 or $2.1 billion later, and none of their construction projects came to completion and are operating. So what they did is they consumed $2.1 billion and then lost some people and then left. And we're not going to be able to figure out where that money went because Duncan Hunter fired our auditor that we had there monitoring the books.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. This is a very interesting story. And let's spend a minute on Duncan Hunter here. First of all, he is the one who formulated this rather offensive religious amendment to the most recent appropriations bill that would have permitted Christian chaplains to preach Christian messages to non-denominational groups in the military.
Correct.
You and I have talked about that, and Mikey Weinstein's been on our program several times to talk about it. And Duncan Hunter announced to not much fanfare and little excitement earlier this week that he's considering running for president.
Bring him on, Peter. I just can't wait. Sorry, 2008. I couldn't wait. I can't wait to see him in the presidential election season. This is going to be fun to watch.
And now we learn that the House-Senate Conference Committee that handled this particular piece of legislation had an insertion at the very last minute that terminates the funding for the Inspector General for Iraq. And this is a guy who worked for Bush for many years in Texas and then moved to Washington. He's hardly, he's not Bunnetine Greenhouse. And it is amazing that they quietly slipped this in and they just want it to go away.
Well, Susan Collins, sorry to interrupt, but Susan Collins, who's a Maine Republican,
yeah,
was on top of that bill because she's the chairwoman of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs. She says she didn't know how it got in there when they sent it over to the conference report. When they sent the conference report over, it wasn't there.
Yeah.
It was a midnight edition by somebody in Hunter's staff.
And that's how things work when you have one-party rule. Back to the phones we go, and let's see, Alan in Phoenix, you're next. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, maybe Osama or somebody or Bin Laden put it in there. Who knows, huh?
Well, I don't know. I don't think Osama cares about that.
Right.
And we're still waiting for the Osama endorsement video to arrive.
Isn't that amazing? Right. Two issues I want to bring up. One is this administration hires some of the most powerful public relations firms to be had in New York to formulate policy and to get issues out there. That's the way they're able to take that little insertion by Kerry and to actually blow it up into a major firestorm. It's because these people use public relations firms. The other thing is,
let me comment on that. First of all, you are correct. There are PR firms like the Lincoln Group and the Rendon Group that have had these cozy contracts with the Bush administration. They keep getting renewed with bigger dollar amounts. And Rendon was the group that created out of whole cloth the Iraqi National Congress. You never see that reported in the mainstream media, but the Iraqi National Congress and Ahmed Chalabi was a creation of an American-based PR firm in the early 90s. And they'll write about Chalabi all day long, and they never mention that. It's just bizarre. And there's another item in today's New York Times, sir, that they are trying to beef up the Pentagon's public relations capabilities. And they're adopting tactics consistent with political campaigns. They just hired Erin Healy, a former White House press spokeswoman, and a woman
That's
named
ridiculous.
Another person named Smith from ABC News has been brought over as a media advisor. And on and on. So the Bush administration, you're correct, is very aware of the power of PR, and they use it brazenly, ruthlessly, and at our expense.
The other point I want to make is that the Republicans, politicians, actually are being run by Blackberries. These guys have Blackberries. They get their talking papers in the morning, and they will press on them all day, and they're spoon-fed items. That's why it seemed like they're always in concert with every issue. These are not independent thinking people. They're all being led from a central point.
Now, there's something else I want to bring in, Peter, that is central to this. They're much better at organizing media that's not even in their pocket. There's a couple of books out about how Democrats are going to have to break into this, and in reading that, I discovered that while the Democrat or the Republican candidates from all over the country, they would go on any talk show, any radio talk show in any market, no matter how small, and talk about themselves, regularly Democrats turn those opportunities down. Big hitters like Kerry and the other one, they just refuse to go on. It was either because they're they're not wrapped too tight. They're corporate or their media consultants. I don't know. But what we did is we lost out all of those millions of independent voters because we're not able to manage our own media appearances. It's crazy. So they're on Blackberries. Somebody says, will you be on my show? They say yes. They don't care who it is. If they have an argument with a liberal talk show host, if there's a very few of those, it doesn't matter because it just is going to affect, it's just good for them. It's free publicity.
Yeah, good point. Alan, anything else?
No, but let's just keep on pressing. We have to get this genie back into the bottle.
Okay, thanks for your call today. Now to Ray in Phoenix. You're on the air. Ray, go right ahead.
Yeah, about the Louisiana fella that's misplaced here in Phoenix. I'm in Phoenix, and one thing I wish you would have asked him, if he knew what it was in Kerry's joke that was left out, because I don't think many of the people who jump on Kerry for the blown joke even know the one little word, the two-letter word that was left out that changed the whole meaning of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all he did, he left the word us out of that joke.
You're right.
And it completely changed the meaning from the people who were over there.
Well, Ray?
Away from...
But the people who aren't willing to look at the context of the remark aren't interested because they're playing gotcha. They want to use that sound bite that isolated and taken out of context makes John Kerry look bad. And you know, when you spin it, you can say, oh, he was dissing the troops. But that wasn't it at all. This is a whole phony set of arguments that have been contrived simply for consumption of the base prior to the election.
It's another Bush straw man that he builds and then he knocks it down. It has nothing to do with reality or the rest of us.
You could say Kerry just left us out of his joke, but Bush, he's left us out of our Constitution, out of habeas corpus, out of our courts, out of our government. He's left close to 3,000 service people out of the rest of their lives. He's left hundreds of thousands of Iraqis out of the rest of their lives. He's left 20,000 plus of our service personnel with life-altering injuries. He's left a lot of us out of having a voice in our future and the spending of our treasury. I mean, this goes on and on, talking about leaving us out of something that really is important, leaving us out of a joke. Well, that's nothing.
You said it very well, Ray. Thank you for calling the program today.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. More calls? You can join us, too. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. More when we return with Scott Dick on military and veterans issues. And we're going to talk about Kevin Tillman's recent public comments. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Happy Friday, everybody. Let's give you the latest. All right, well, we want to tell you a little about what's happening in Monterey, northbound 1 before Camino Agueto. Excuse the pronunciation, but we have an accident cleared there. An overturned trailer with debris that's been moved out of the lanes. Traffic is heavily backed up approaching the scene as well, so to be advised. Gilroy, Monterey Avenue, Maston Avenue, we have a railroad crossing. It looks like the crossing arm is stuck in the down position where there's no train in sight, and as a result, you can expect delays because of this. Felton Empire Road at Empire Grade. Several rocks are in lane, so drive with caution as you approach that particular area. Gilroy, southbound 101 at 10th Pacheco Pass Highway. A pile of chains in the right lane. Advil Cold and Sinus with all the power of Advil plus a hardworking decongestant. Powerful cold and sinus relief now available at your pharmacy counter. I'm Mike with traffic on KRXA AM 540.
So easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, people, listen, that's the way it should be. Deep in the valley, people got to be free.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on 21 minutes past the hour as we continue our visit with Scott Dick, contributor on military and veterans issues here on the PBC Show. And, I got to move my screen here. We're joined by, line four. It's Mark from Fountain Hills, Arizona. Mark, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the great job that you're doing. Second of all, LA resident, currently in the Phoenix area, and I'd like to apologize on behalf of all these people for the other gentleman who called in a little while ago.
Oh, not necessary.
And thirdly, I'm more calling to confirm perhaps you or one of your staff or another listener might know, but there had been a lot of noise and activity about a memo that had been written by Paul Wolfowitz back in October of 91 that basically was a, for lack of a better term, a blueprint for going into Iraq with the subsequent election of Bush 41, which mm-hmm. subsequently never happened.
Right.
But this was, as I understand it, a 13-page document that basically gave a premise and an outline for doing this. And, of course, events changed, and it came down to Bush 43 and supposedly following that. And I was just wondering if you were aware of this or any of your staff or anybody else was, or if I'm completely misinformed.
Well, I'll tell you that there were a lot of memos written there during the final days of the Cheney Defense Department after the loss in 1992. There were also a lot of contingency plans developed that weren't acted upon because I think Bush Sr. and Brent Scowcroft squelched them. But let's turn to Scott because he knows more about this than I do.
Peter, I interviewed Dr. William Beeman, who is a professor of linguistics and anthropology at Brown University, and is an expert not only in Iran, but that whole region. And this was a couple of months ago, say 6 months ago, and he talks specifically about not only the memoranda, but the working group that they put together that actively lobbied Clinton to do just that. And they accused him of all sorts of things, of failure to lead, cowardice, disregarding the threat that Saddam Hussein portrayed, et cetera. And Beeman was actually at a conference with Wolfowitz, and he told me when he walked away from this conference, he said, that guy is dangerous.
Hmm.
So that stuff exists, and I'm sure it's in one of Beeman's books, and if not, we could probably get a hold of it. But
yeah.
No, it's absolutely correct.
Oh, good. Hey, well, I'll continue to look it up, and I'll look for Mr. Beeman's book. And, again, I appreciate the work you all are doing.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you today, Mark. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Now, let's talk about the Tillman brothers, Scott. Pat Tillman, of course, was an NFL football player who resigned from the Arizona Cardinals and joined the Army. And he was killed by friendly fire on
April... No such thing as friendly fire, Peter.
Okay. he was killed by fire from his fellow soldiers April 22nd, 2004. And his brother Kevin has written a blistering piece that has been working its way around the web. One of his comments, Kevin Tillman wrote, "Somehow, American leadership, whose only credit is lying to its people and illegally invading a nation, has been allowed to steal the courage, virtue, and honor of its soldiers on the ground." Now, nobody accused him of dissing the troops.
Well, that's because he's actually has worn a uniform in harm's way, a military uniform, and he's not Kerry. And, of course, nobody is going to approach, you know, he's golden right now, it's as it should be. This is truth from fiction. And, you know, if somebody wants to look at it, it came out at truthdig.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that people read that, especially somebody who was there on the ground. We know what happened with the false information that was given to the family. We know that his family was accused of being not religious, and that was the whole reason, you know, Tillman was going to burn in hell, et cetera. They've gone under a lot of scrutiny. The military is investigating Tillman's death again.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the fourth time. They still haven't got it right. And, this is more than just anger or bitterness. This is looks like something that was written by somebody who's been there and has seen that. And he's really frustrated. You know, he doesn't diss the troops, I don't think, at all.
No, he doesn't. But I would expect his remarks to be twisted because he criticized the president. And that's what Kerry was attempting to do in his mangled remarks. Ken, in Corbell, California, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Major Scott Dick.
Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate what you guys are doing, listening to you talking there. And along the lines of like selective news or sometimes no news, there was a munitions dump that blew up in, it was Baghdad, I think, a couple weeks ago.
It was in Baghdad, yes.
And I heard that, and at the time I thought, wow, boy, that's a major thing. And they said no reports of casualties. I haven't heard a thing since. Do you know anything about that? Or?
The report I saw was that they think it was a mortar round that made a direct hit.
Two mortar rounds.
Made a direct hit on an ammo storage site inside the green zone, and that exploded. I think that there was at least two casualties, and I don't know if they were killed, but there was two casualties there. And, of course, it would have been guarded, and it's hard for something like that to blow up and not hurt somebody.
That is amazing. Yeah, I can't believe that there's that's just amazing. Anyway.
Well, you make a good point, Ken, that we are suffering from very weak coverage of what's going on in Iraq right now. Well, and there is a story that's circulating pretty widely on the web that I have yet to see documented in print or on television, and that is about a major event at Forward Base Falcon on or about the 12th of October. What we are hearing is that the casualties tallied up to over 300.
You know, I heard something about that may have been related to that,
And I've been unable to come up with confirmation. Scott, have you seen anything in the military newspapers about that?
No, I was too busy reading about Madonna's adoption.
I see.
That would push the unfortunate death toll for October up a little bit, wouldn't it?
Well, the reporting that I got was not clear, and the 300 number included not only troops but also contractors, and there were large numbers of wounded. As you know, casualties don't always mean fatalities.
Right.
So I'm still trying to get a solid source for that, and I mention it cautiously here for people to investigate, but it appears to be a serious incident that the American media has yet to cover,
yeah.
And it's almost 3 weeks old.
Well, that information shouldn't be so hard to come by.
But okay. They found another suspect in the Aruda disappearance, and Natalie forgot what her last name is.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate your contributions. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Peter.
That's Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, we're going to talk about creeping fascism and an interesting experiment a few years back. Ron Jones talks about the wave next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The indiscretion bomb strikes again. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Reverend Ted Haggard is out as leader of the National Association of Evangelicals. You may recall that he made news last year when he said it was time that the Christian right joined the environmental movement. He signed a statement about the sacred responsibility to steward the earth. At the time, some evangelicals were worried he'd gone a little bit too far to the left. But today, it isn't the tree-hugging they're worried about.
He had a relationship with me. We had gay sex.
The accuser, Mike Jones of Denver, who's with an escort service, says the monthly trysts have been going on for 3 years and that money changed hands. Reverend Haggard denies it.
I haven't had sex with a man in Denver.
And yet, according to the senior pastor of his own church,
there has been some admission of indiscretion, not admission to all of the material that has been discussed, but there is an admission of some guilt.
Perhaps the sex was only a little bit gay. And yet, whatever happened, it was consensual. So why would Mike Jones use his relationship, whatever it was, to hurt somebody? Especially a customer. What could it be? What could it possibly be?
Mike Jones admits his motivation for coming forward now is political.
Yes. Reverend Haggard was supporting a Colorado ballot measure to ban gay marriage.
I just couldn't sit back and not say anything. I felt like this just needed to come out, you know, exposing hypocrisy.
You see? It's just politics. What we have here is simply another negative ad. The kind that doesn't even need scary music.
I'm standing here on top of a mountain of multivitamins. Most of them are about the number of ingredients. Well, Centrum has news that'll topple that idea. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients like C, recharging E, to optimize their antioxidant power. A complete formula with 8 interactive combinations that help your body get more out of Centrum. Just having a lot of ingredients isn't all it's cracked up to be. Centrum is balanced and complete from A to Zinc.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. And some people are offended when you use the F word these days. But I'm not afraid. So far, the FCC hasn't put it on the list that could earn me a $350,000 fine. The F word I'm using is fascism. Just a dream. Were you so confused? Was it just a giant leap of logic? Was it the time of year that makes us stay? Politically themed music from Down Under. That's Midnight Oil. Did I hear you say, my country, right or wrong? Well, here on the Peter B. Collins Show, it was just about a month or 6 weeks ago, we invited Lawrence Britt, a writer, on our program. He had penned a piece that's been floating around on the web. You can probably find it if you Google Lawrence Britt, B-R-I-T-T, and the word fascism. And he listed 14 elements that define fascism in a society. And it was so stunning and creepy and deadly accurate in describing the current state of affairs with the Bush administration in this country. Ron Jones has been a teacher, a performance artist, probably a lot of other things too. But 1967, way back there during the Vietnam era, he was teaching at Cubberly High School in Palo Alto. Ron Jones, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter.
Well, thank you for joining us. Tell us about the experiment that you conducted with your world history class there that ultimately became known as The Wave.
It was an experiment on fascism. I had been teaching lots of simulations, you know, ways of trying to learn by doing things, not just reading about them. For instance, to teach about communism, I had students, or capitalism, I had them create a capitalistic lunch where they would bring commodities to give and sell. And then to teach socialism, they would garner money together and go buy a common product to distribute. And then with communism, they might just work everyone according to their ability. So it turned out to be a disaster. But when fascism came about, I thought I would try the same kind of simulation. So I took my room and actually cleaned it. And as the students trickled in, I had them sit in rigid postures and had them chant after me. I went to the blackboard and wrote things like strength through discipline. And I explained the power of discipline for an athlete or a ballet dancer or an artist, the need to have discipline. I had the students go out of the room and come back into the room with various stages of discipline, some chaotic, some more rigid. And I thought that would be the end of the experiment. They would simply get a taste of what it would be like to be in a martial environment.
Mm-hmm.
And the second day came, this was Tuesday, and I came to class, and surprisingly all the students were sitting in the posture in which I had introduced to them. And there was this curious thought in my mind whether to proceed or not. I really didn't know what to do. I was a new teacher. So I decided to go on, and I went to the blackboard and spontaneously wrote strength through discipline followed by strength through community. And then I began to explain what community might mean, Lao Tzu, a movement, a cause, you know, working for something grander than oneself. And proposing the idea, what if everyone got a common grade in our class instead of an A or a B or a C, an individualistic grade? What if we simply worked together? What would that feel like? And we have these experiences with football games and basketball games at high school, but to exaggerate it, you know, I introduced the idea a community would have a membership card, and I gave everyone in the class a membership card. And I marked several of the cards with red X's, saying, if you get a red X in your card, be sure to tell me what everyone's doing, because this is now a community, and we not only have a membership, but we have this card and a salute. I introduced the idea of a salute, a curvature mm-hmm. of the hand, and the idea of a wave, the third wave. So now, to my utter surprise, I'm walking around campus and, you know, dishes are spilling in the cafeteria, books are coming off shelves as people are stopping to stand and jerk into this salute. And I still think it's kind of a simulation, and I still think I'm kind of intrigued by it. As a teacher, for the very first time, a lot of the students in the middle of the class are being engaged. You know, as a teacher, you normally see the kids that are very bright, they're sitting in front, and the kids that are not so bright maybe sitting in the back and kind of cutting up,
yeah,
or bright in different ways at least. But I realized the whole class was getting engaged in this. So by the third day, I came to class and strength through discipline, strength through community, and I introduced the idea of action. Now, Coverley High School in 1967 was experiencing the first black students coming into a white middle-class high school in Palo Alto. There was just a few of them, about 23, but it was turning the school into chaos. So this idea of action had some meaning. The students were anxious to figure out, you know, what to do, how to behave towards this new inroad of students that were demanding new ways of teaching. And at the same time, there was this chaos in the school environment. You know, black students would be wearing razor blades in their hair, and there'd be these fights, and the black men students were being denied the use of athletics. They were told they had to go home after school. They couldn't participate in after school. So there was this, you have to understand, there was this environment. And into this environment, I was walking down the hall, and the girls' bathroom was on fire, which was fairly common at that time.
Oh, yeah?
And the school principal was standing next to the door, you know. And I rushed up to the scene, and he says, you know, stand back. You know, it's the girls in there. I said, yeah, but there's a fire. And I break through the door here, and there's these black students holding these white students kind of hostage. And I get the white students out, and there's this, you know, Norman Morgan, this black student from East Palo Alto, standing with a gold-toothed grin saying, I told you, Mr. Jones, this school is just fucked.
Ooh, careful there.
Excuse me, $350,000 worth of danger.
That is the F word we're not supposed to say.
But it's in context of the story. It's a true story. So
that's fine. Go ahead.
But anyway, the other irony was the students were, I realized, that were beginning to follow me around. And one of them, particularly Robert, was sitting in the corner of the room, and he was always all by himself. He used to play checkers in the classroom at lunchtime, and I just feel so sad for any kids alone, and this child was definitely alone. He wasn't like the two bright girls, Aline Levine and Wendy Brody, that sat up front, or this Jerry that sat in the corner in the back, or Norman Morgan in the other corner, or one of my basketball players. This kid was alone, and he follows me into the faculty room, and this faculty member sitting there, this is Barney Tanner, he's the head of the English department, his glasses are kind of falling off his nose, and he's used to kind of interrupting conversation with red marks. And as this student walks in behind me, he addresses the student by saying, hey, you don't belong in here. This is the faculty room for faculty only. And the student turns to him and says, I'm not a student. I'm a bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I knew, boy, I'm in deep trouble. This kid's crossing over some imaginary line. This is not a simulation. Somehow this is becoming real. And we're getting trapped by it.
Mm-hmm.
My class size had now swollen from the original group of about 25 to about 150. All the students that would be loose at school were ending up in the class and standing along the perimeter of the class. And I was picking up the car gangs. I was picking up the Dadaists that were painting the ceilings blue. I was picking up all the oddballs of the school. And there was tremendous excitement about this thing called the wave. But it was also extremely dangerous. My wife was the first one to say, hey, you just can't go on with this. I don't care if the students seem to be learning more. I don't care if they're standing at attention and answering your questions. That doesn't make sense. Something's terrible happening here. You have to stop this.
So you never really wanted to be an authoritarian figure.
Well, the problem was I liked it. I mean, you have to confess, you know, there's a certain point there that your class is extremely orderly. They seem to be learning a lot more. They seem to be helping each other. There seems to be some grand scheme that's very valuable from an educational standpoint.
But isn't that the equivalent of Mussolini? You got the trains to run on time?
Exactly. And the danger is there for the Aline Levine and Wendy Brody, the very smart girls. I mean, they're now being excluded from any classroom activities, and I'm having them taken out of the class just to protect them. And there are bully groups forming up to try to proselytize brothers and sisters, and no, it's definitely running out of control. So by the fourth day, I told the students that, indeed, this wave was real. I was a graduate student coming out of Stanford at the time, and I said students like myself have gone throughout the country to introduce this idea of the third wave to bring discipline to our schools and order, and we're going to take over the schools, the factories, the communities. And tomorrow you're going to meet your presidential candidate that's going to lead us in this journey. And everyone was very excited. You know, the armbands came out, placards were made, posters, uniforms. And now the class had swollen by then to about over 300. And two other schools in the district were joining us. I mean, it was definitely progressing rapidly. So the final day came this Friday, and there was this large auditorium, and the students, entered their way into this room and sat at attention. And I led them in some chants that we'd been working on, and then I said, "Now I'd like you to meet your leader." And I went to the TV, and I had arranged on some videotape about fascism and Hitler and the Holocaust and the concentration camps and the horror of that. Turned it on, and they realized that that's the leader. At that point, one student jumped up, and this strange. This was the one kid that started the whole experiment. He had asked, "How could the Germans behave as they did after the war, contending that it didn't exist?" And he jumped up and said, "There is no leader, is there?" At which point, the classroom breaks into complete chaos, and people are crying, people trying to hold me, hug me, people are trying to break away, people are just racing out of the room, all in confusion. But before they left, I said, "You have to listen to this one thing. You know, we've all been guilty of this experiment, myself included. We liked it too much. And we're just like the Nazis we've been studying. We're no better or worse. We gave up our freedom for the thought of being superior to our neighbors. We're fascists." So that was the experiment, and it like the fascists in Germany, we will never admit to being here. And that happened for 10 years. This event never came up publicly. In class, we talked a lot about it, trying to find ways to empower ourselves individually and get some sense and dignity back to ourselves. But it was never a public discourse until about 10 years afterwards, when I was buying some underwear in Berkeley, and some kid came up to me and gave me the salute, and then I went and wrote about it.
Ron, stay with us. We're going to take a break.
All
That's
right.
a powerful story, and I want to open up the phone lines. If you'd like to talk about your experiences with power, authority, and the way people respond to it, and if you'd like to talk about the bigger picture about creeping fascism in these United States, I welcome your call. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 11 minutes away from the hour. Mick and the Stones have a musical statement for you right now. Whoa, watch that. Continue with Ron Jones. He taught at Coverley High School in Palo Alto. Ron, I got to Palo Alto about 1976, and things were a lot mellower by then, I have to say.
You're lucky.
But that is quite a story about your experiment with fascism. I want to take a moment here just to briefly list these 14 elements that Lawrence Britt has identified. And you can Google Lawrence Britt and fascism, and you can find this on the web very easily. Number one, powerful and continuing nationalism. Number two, disdain for the recognition of human rights. See if these match the Bush administration in your view. Identification of enemies and scapegoats as a unifying cause. Can you say Osama? Supremacy of the military, rampant sexism, controlled mass media, obsession with national security, religion and government intertwined, corporate power is protected, labor power is suppressed, disdain for intellectuals and the arts, obsession with crime and punishment, rampant cronyism and corruption, and there's one more, fraudulent elections. Now, doesn't that fit tighter than O.J.'s glove?
That's scary.
It really is. And a lot of people, you know, the word fascism is a powerful one. It is loaded. There's no doubt about it. And what I noticed earlier this year, Bush trotted out the phrase Islamo-fascist, which has no meaning to me. But I felt like he was trying to inoculate against the application of the term fascism to him. Hmm. Did you have that reaction?
I didn't till now.
So as you look around, Ron Jones, what do you see? And do you see our society forming up in some of the same ways that you saw your students at Coverley do?
Well, I know from the experiment at Coverley that tattletaling became a big factor because those cards that had the red X, I was amazed by the middle of the experiment, about two-thirds of the students were tattletaling on each other. That's quite frightening. And I've been in East Germany and other places where they said the same thing happened under communist rule. And the lack of humor in our society right now seems to be an indicator. Humor seemed to vanish immediately from the classroom. Any sense of joyfulness or playfulness was eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
The principal liked the experiment, and I suspect there are a lot of people in this culture right now that like what's going on because they think it's bringing order and maybe some kind of faithful sacrament of some kind. And there was no resistance to the wave. That surprised me. And I don't sense any real resistance in this country to what's going on. I mean, we should be so appalled and so angry and building so many alternatives. I do not honestly sense that happening. The principal, for instance, not only liked it, but I couldn't get a local rabbi or any of the parents to come, you know, roaring into the room with, you know, with other thoughts about what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So comparing the experiment to what, you know, Lawrence is saying, there's a lot of parallels.
Mm-hmm. Now, at the time you did this, we were mired in Vietnam. The civil rights movement was well underway, but Martin Luther King was still alive. Robert F. Kennedy was still alive. And yet those elements, the insecurity that people felt.
Insecurity is a great word.
Because of the shift in integration. You described that at Coverley. Palo Alto is a lily-white community with a ghetto on the east side of the freeway. that's actually in another county and unincorporated. And so it was a very interesting context and climate. How do you see some similarities with today?
I think it's fear. You know, if you generate a culture of fear, then you're allowed to do almost anything to combat the fear. And in Palo Alto, Coverly, it was fear of a black community coming over the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think it's fear of, you know, something, you know, the quote terrorist, whatever that might be, or some bird flu or whatever's on the horizon for the news.
Or Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, I guess so, right. I think that she would be seen, or the San Francisco culture.
Yeah, that's been demonized now. And
already.
Yeah. I can imagine they're going to sell a lot of T-shirts, you know.
But I think there's a fundamental, perhaps, insecurity in our own culture, our own psyche, that we're vulnerable to become fascist. And that was probably true in Germany. It's probably true in many cultures.
Mm-hmm.
We just give up authority too easily. We don't have many experiences with actually making decisions, you know. When in school, for instance, do students make decisions about economy, like, you know, making enterprise? Well, when do they have any decision about the textbooks they use, the teachers, or the curriculum? So we're really in a kind of fascist state without realizing it. People always ask me, well, could this experiment happen today? I suspect it's happening every day in schools. We just don't realize it.
Well, there is this interesting contradiction. And it's real apparent to me, and I feel like everybody else should be able to see it, too. But Bush, you know, talks about the promotion of liberty and democracy in parts of the world where it's totally foreign.
Yeah, right.
As he scales back liberty and democracy in this country with the collusion of the Congress. I mean, at one point it was a brazen power grab. Then it was ruled out of order but not quite illegal by the Supreme Court. And the Congress rushed a paper over the law-breaking of the president and make it all okay.
Yeah, it's quite frightening when you think of what he's doing with the register. I guess he's writing his own rules, but also in terms of...
You mean the signing statements?
Yeah, the signing, but also basic human rights. It's someone to be incarcerated and not know who your accuser is, or not know how long you're being charged for, and not having a lawyer.
But Ron, these are bad guys.
You see... Maybe we're the bad guys. That's frightening to think about that.
Well, and that so many people don't see the contradiction, that we say that we are promoting liberty and democracy and the capital F freedom word, and we are systematically rolling those back for ourselves and for others defined as, you know, an unlawful enemy combatant as determined solely by the President of the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
So, got any solutions?
Well,
got any advice for us?
I know that Philip Zimbardo did a study at Stanford. This was right after the wave, and he and I have talked a little bit. He was a teacher. I think he was teaching psychology there, and he took the basement of the psych building and created a jail. And then he arbitrarily chose his class into two groups. You know, those would be jailers and those would be incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
And they went into this environment, and within moments, those that were incarcerated behaved as if they were incarcerated, and those that were jailers became brutal and became, you know, these wild, violent jailers.
The Stockholm Syndrome.
But he's got it on videotape. I mean, so that means that that you and I are vulnerable to this. We're a moment away from this.
Not you and me, Ron.
Oh, everybody. That's what scares me.
Okay, one more thing. The crap on TV, the reality shows.
Well, that's fascinating, because what happens is they don't include anybody. It's not an inclusion thing where we're trying to make society better by including differences. It's all exclusion, and people are being kicked off. It's like, okay, everyone gets the chance to get killed.
Isn't it designed to allow voyeurs to feel superior?
Yeah, and see, it's the exact opposite of democracy. Instead of including differences, it's saying we're going to exclude people until there's only one left.
No.
I don't want to be the one left, do you?
No, and I can't stand those shows because they take 5 minutes worth of action and spread it out over a whole hour with a lot of special effects and jazzy music and all that BS. And I can't take it. It doesn't interest me. It doesn't entertain me. And after an hour, I say, wow, I just wasted an hour. Ron, thank you for joining us today. I really enjoyed talking with you. Ron Jones here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's all practice the wave. Coming up next, Brad Friedman, Mr. Election Integrity, girding his...
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try
bag of scones. Everything's a taste, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghoulish, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Los Alamos National Laboratory says no really sensitive information was compromised, but CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports what was found last month at the home of Jessica Quintana is enough to raise serious questions about security at the nation's nuclear weapons laboratory.
The classified information in Quintana's possession included at least three tiny portable computer storage drives and 228 pages of classified documents. They were found last month in Quintana's trailer during a drug raid involving her roommate. Her attorney says she took the material home to work on and then forgot about it.
Even though she's just 22, Quintana had a very high security clearance, allowing her access to information on how to deactivate the locks on nuclear weapons. The National Association of Evangelicals, which Reverend Ted Haggard served as president until his abrupt resignation yesterday, says Haggard has admitted to some indiscretions and needs an extended period of recovery. Haggard initially denied knowing Mike Jones, the Denver male prostitute who claims they had sex. But today, CBS News correspondent Jennifer Miller reports Haggard changed his story.
The Reverend is saying that he did buy methamphetamines from Mr. Jones, but that he did not use them. He also says that he was tempted. He says he contacted Jones originally for a massage, and that he did receive a massage from Mr. Jones, and that he had received information about Mr. Jones from a Denver hotel.
Jones, who advertises his services in gay publications and on gay websites, says it's unlikely he was recommended by any hotel, and Jones says he never sold Haggard any meth. Under intense pressure from Republican leaders, Ohio Congressman Bob Ney has resigned. He's facing prison after pleading guilty in the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal. Ney's continued presence in Congress was an embarrassment to his fellow Republicans. They threatened to expel him if he was still there after Election Day. It's been a busy day of campaigning for President Bush. First stop, Missouri.
With your hard work for the next 4 days, you'll elect Jim Talent to the United States Senate. We'll keep control of the House and we'll keep control of the Senate.
Later, Mr. Bush landed in Iowa trying to help the Republican candidate for governor, Jim Nussle. Former President Bill Clinton was campaigning for Democrats. Today he was in Jonesboro, Arkansas.
The whole country has seen what happens if you turn away from evidence and argument and a commitment to getting things done with common sense for the common good to the kind of ideological extremism we've seen.
The Army has changed its mind about sending Specialist Santos Cardona for another tour in Iraq. After his first tour, he was convicted of abusing prisoners at Abu Ghraib and sentenced to 90 days hard labor. Cardona was about to return to Iraq with his unit when higher-ups decided to keep him behind for his own safety. On Wall Street, the Dow down 32 points to close the week at 11,986. This is CBS News.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
The health effects. That's what concerns me.
Last night, Brian went to philipmorrisusa.com.
There's a lot of information there, but for me it all came down to this. There is no safe cigarette.
Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. If you'd like more information on the health effects of smoking, as well as links for smokers who've decided to quit, find out more. Visit philipmorrisusa.com.
Peace of mind. We all want it, but where do you find it? And when you do find it, how long does it last? At New York Life, peace of mind starts with a promise and lasts a lifetime. The promise to pay a claim when you need it, even if that day is 30 or 40 years from now. It's why New York Life is built on the unshakable values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. In the end, peace of mind is why New York Life is the company you keep.
The story from Clarkfield, Minnesota is ironic, but more than that, it's tragic. WCCO Radio's Telly Mamayak reports.
16-year-old Nick Johnson was injured Saturday morning while filming a video on driver-pedestrian safety with a couple of classmates. He tried to jump on the hood of a vehicle, slid off, and the car ran over him. He died 4 days later. School principal Karen Norrell.
Good kids doing what good kids do. We will miss him. He was a real asset to our student body.
The students started their project before the teacher handed out the specifics of the assignment. Telly Mamayak, CBS News, Minneapolis.
You may have heard about the letters to God found floating in the water near Atlantic City, New Jersey. There were about 300 letters in a sealed plastic bag addressed to a minister who died in 2004. The man who found the package says more than a dozen churches have offered to take the letters and pray for the people who wrote them. He's deciding who should get them. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I'll admit it. I'm as selfish as they come. Because when it comes to my small business, no one else is looking out for me. That's why I partnered with Dell. Dell gave me the technology I need to help me make my customers happy. We not only built the perfect solution for today, but helped map out a plan for succeeding tomorrow. After all, business is a game of survival of the fittest, and I plan on winning.
At Dell, we design small business solutions with one company in mind. Yours, Dell. Purely you. Learn more at DellRadio.com today.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
I will not concede until all the votes are counted. Candidates, repeat after me. I will not concede until all the votes are counted. Democratic candidates, repeat after me. I will not concede until all the votes are counted. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, our Friday regular here in the final hour as we visit with his bradness, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, the man working single-handedly to protect election integrity in this country. And frankly, he needs reinforcements. How are you, Brad?
I could use a few more hands. Luckily, I'm not single-handedly. We got folks who are all across the country, including you, my friend, who are fighting. And by the way, you got my vote, brother. where do I vote for it? You mean all you have to do is say I do not concede until all votes are counted and people will support you?
That's right. Yeah.
They will.
That's an important message. Now, Brad and I are conspiring, and this is an out and open conspiracy.
Is this a conspiracy theory?
No theories involved. It's just a flat out conspiracy. On Tuesday, we are going to do an election night marathon. And we will be covering results as they come in. But our major focus is going to be the integrity of the election. And we're going to report on glitches, snags, technical difficulties, lines around the block, voter registration problems, and all the other vagaries that we expect to surface with what could be the most critical and the most mangled. I was trying to say bangled and mungled at the same time.
Mungled.
Bungled and mangled election of all time. What do you say, Brad? Is that accurate?
That's about right, yeah. I'm very excited about this. Working together with you and a bunch of other folks are going to be coming on board, networks, to carry this on the Internet. Air affiliates, while everyone else, as you say, will be focusing probably on the horse race, unless it gets as bad as I think it might, we're going to focus on what underlines our entire democracy, which is this electoral system, and tell folks what's really going on out there in an all-night marathon election night meltdown-a-palooza.
And we have already announced the following affiliates, KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. They'll be carrying us starting with the Peter B. Collins Show at 3 p.m. Pacific and then on into the night. 1240 Talk City, KSAC Sacramento, is going to carry our broadcast after a Sharks game. KGOE 1480, our great affiliate in Eureka, Humboldt County, is going to carry the broadcast. And we just learned that KUDO in Anchorage, Alaska, is also going to be carrying our election night special. And I got word from a radio station in Warren, Vermont, that they want to put it on their web stream. And there are lots of other people who are responding to the word that we put out just today about this special radio broadcast on Tuesday.
Let me add in, WhiteRoseSociety.org will be carrying it live. KPFTX.org down in Houston will be carrying it. And we should let folks know that anyone and everyone is welcome to carry the broadcast free of charge, whether it's on your internet site, on your radio dial. We'll shoot over the satellite coordinates to you.
AM, FM, TV, shortwave, longwave, CB, we'll take it.
We ain't proud. We'll take whoever wants to listen to us.
Well, and it's going to be very interesting, Brad. I am you know, considering you as a great source and not a prophet, but somebody who understands the meltdown that is approaching. And I do think it's going to amount to a debacle on Tuesday, and it's important for people to focus on these issues. The one thing I think is that while the polls show the Democrats are expected to be victorious, particularly in the House of Representatives across the country, I think that voting issues are going to be problematic, and we may not know the outcome of the election when we sign off at midnight or 1 a.m. Tuesday night.
Well, in truth, I think there is no way for us to know, because the system has now changed so much that we are asked to rely and believe in these black boxes that report. Who knows what they're reporting? I mean, that's the problem here. We've talked for months now about what's going on down there in San Diego and other counties around the country and the state. Excuse me, where they're sending these voting machines home for weeks at a time. And the fact of the matter is, once that chain of custody has been broken, you have no idea what's going on with those machines. And until you get in there, count every vote, audit every vote, and make sure that you know you've got a legitimate count, you've got nothing. And the media will run around, and they will say, oh, so-and-so won, and this guy won, and that guy won. And that's the danger, as we've learned going back to 2000. Basically, the first guy that the media declares to be the winner gets to be the winner, whether he actually won or not. So hopefully when we're covering it, we'll be able to refer to, AP reports that such and such has won. But for you or I on election night with thousands of votes that won't be counted, provisional ballots, paper ballots, everything else, I think it would be irresponsible for us as the media to say, any candidate won that night, because in fact, we can't possibly know.
Well, we got a call yesterday from a gentleman who is having a sleepover date this entire weekend with a touchscreen voting machine. He is a listener of ours in Kashawa, which is a little town inland from Carmel Valley on the Central Coast, and he operates a general store and a restaurant that is the polling place in that precinct. And so with my consultation, the voting machine has been taken to Victoria's Secret to be outfitted in a nice little nightie for the sleepovers. And they're going to take her around and introduce her to everybody all weekend long.
And will we get some photographs of that nice little nightie-dressed voting machine to put up on the web so that people can see what is going on with their pre-programmed election-ready voting machine?
Well, we'll probably have to sanitize it because it could be a little too racy for some people.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's the only way they may pay attention.
Now,
you need a good sex scandal with a voting machine. That'll do it.
Now, Brad, according to bradblog.com, an interesting report has come out from the administrator of Maryland State Board of Elections. What is this new report about?
Well, the report hasn't come out from the administrator. Unfortunately, Linda Lamone out there has sat on this report. This is a three-year-old report now, going back to 2003. You'll recall that after the source code originally came out for these Diebold touchscreen machines in Maryland, which was one of the original Diebold states, there was all kinds of buzz about the security. Avi Rubin was the professor who put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the state commissioned a report. That report came back from a group called SAIC, S-A-I-C, and the scientific community, and they found myriad flaws in these systems. They released a 200-page report to the election director, Linda Lamone, out there. And that report, however, was redacted heavily. 200-page report, when it finally got out to the public, it was 38 pages.
Oh, wow.
And
that is heavily redacted.
You think? And, you know, the computer science community and election integrity community has been trying to get at this report for years because so many of these things we've heard since 2003, you know, the Princeton report, the virus hack, all of that stuff, the question now is, well, how much of that was in that original report that was not allowed to be seen by the public? And, in fact, it was highly redacted by Diebold themselves. Not just redacted, but changed so that the version that did come out made the problem seem much less than they actually were, non-existent. But that report never even went to the full State Board of Elections, never went to the governor of Maryland, and ultimately was kept from the American people so that all of these other states in the meantime since 2003 have gone ahead and spent billions of dollars buying these machines that we likely knew 3 years ago were a grave security threat. So that report is now coming out for the first time. Hopefully we will be releasing the report in full at BradBlog and other places at the same time. But, you know, this is the first time anyone has actually seen some of the changes and been able to compare them to the original report.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll be looking for that when you get it up on BradBlog.com. Terrence joins us from Monterey. Hello, Terrence. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Brad. Yeah, I'm working on Yes on 89 with a group here in Monterey Bay.
That's the Clean Money Initiative.
The California Clean Money and Fair Elections Act. And there are a lot of activities going on between now and Tuesday. Because all the local central committees for the Democrats have endorsed, we can work with the Democrats, and all their door hangers say Yes on 89. So there's a lot of work to be done this weekend. People in Capitola and Soquel and Watsonville and Salinas can all hang door hangers that say Yes on 89.
And there's work to be done. The polls show that if the election were held today, it might not pass. So it's important for people to get out there and support it.
That's why we got to push it over the top. They can call me at 750-2374 for details on any of these activities, and or they can call the Santa Cruz Democratic headquarters at 425-7700. Democratic headquarters in Santa Cruz is also doing training for poll watching, and that will happen at 3 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday. If people want to come out and do that, they'll be able to be certified on behalf of the Democrats to poll watch on Tuesday.
Okay, great. Thanks for your activism, Terrence, and thanks for checking in today. More coming up with Brad Friedman. If you'd like to talk with us, he's here the entire hour. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. More in a moment with Brad Friedman and me, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Jim Ross, president and founder of National Real Estate Holding. Jim has been on our show the last several weeks to talk about wealth building and offering real estate investments in some great parts of the United States. If you want to learn how to make money in a down real estate market, this show is for you. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10. For more information on this show and how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. 408-892-3376.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Happy Friday, everybody. Let's give you the latest. All right, we got a problem in Monterey, northbound 1 before 680. It is that's 68, the Highway 68. A car and a motorcycle blocking the left lane, CHP on the scene. Santa Cruz County, Soquel at San Jose, at Soquel San Jose Road at Amaya Road. We have an accident there. An overturned vehicle has been cleared out of the lanes. Quickly, a bit of an advisory. Road construction in Watsonville tonight, Highway 1 between 129 and Freedom Boulevard. Caltrans will have one lane shut down in each direction starting at 7 p.m. until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning for pavement upgrades. About 15-minute delays expected. And support brought to you by Robitussin. Robitussin with formulas for coughs, colds, congestion, and flu. No matter what you've got, there's Robitussin relief with your name on it. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KRXA AM 540.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, 21 minutes after the hour. We're visiting with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us about Tuesday's election and questions or issues that you'd like to raise. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. You can also drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And Brad, here's a question that just came in by email from Humboldt County. It reads, local elections official Lindsay McWilliams said he would not post the poll tapes with local totals on the outside of the precincts when they close on Tuesday night. California Election Code Section 19384 says they must be posted. What do you know about that, Brent?
Well, I don't know about that county specifically, but I know that folks down in Riverside, for example, have been fighting that fight for years. Yeah, the fact of the matter is, I don't know if it's the poll tapes or if it's the poll results specifically, but in each precinct, yes, they are supposed to be posted at the end of the night. And this is a check and balance so that, you know, folks can go around, count the totals from the precincts before they make their way into the central tabulator when Lord knows what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, this is going to be up to the folks with the boots on the ground there in each county to demand that they follow the law and post this information.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brad, there are going to be many contributors to confusion and complications and possible glitches on Tuesday. One of them, from my perspective, appears to be confusing requirements about identification required to be produced by voters at the polls. Arizona has a new restrictive ID requirement.
And you and I have discussed that Missouri and Georgia have, over the past few months, ruled unconstitutional legislation that was going to require these types of photo IDs and additional identification. We've heard serious reports from Ohio that there's deep confusion there, particularly among absentee voters who are instructed to put their driver's license number on the absentee ballot. Only there are two sets of numbers on the Ohio driver's license, and apparently at least 60 ballots have already been disqualified because somebody put the wrong set of driver's license numbers on the absentee ballot.
Yeah, confusion is reigning, and frankly that benefits the bad guys real well here. I hope I have these details right, because it's really tough to keep up with some of this with all the court decisions that change and the intricacies of the laws, but I understand in Ohio that they've now come to terms on the voter ID, and somehow the Democratic Party played along here that ID requirements will be waived for absentee balloting. Now, you would think that would be good. Fact of the matter, however, is that, as we know, most voter fraud actually occurs via absentee balloting. So, essentially, if you're you can send in anything you want as an absentee voter in Ohio, but at the polls, they're going to stop you if you don't have, the photo ID that's required. I heard a story, and pardon me, but there's so much intel coming in now, I can't remember the state, where a congresswoman went to vote, showed her congressional ID, and was told, no, that's not good enough.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's the kind of situation we're dealing with on the ground, and you say a possible meltdown on election night. I would argue that it has already begun. As you know, we've seen votes on touchscreens around the country flipping, coincidentally, always in favor of Republicans, by the way. In states all over the country, we know that some of these touchscreens are cutting off people's names. We know that they're going out on sleepovers. We now have reports, at least, in Tennessee, and I'm dubious about these reports, but that smart cards have been stolen in one county down there. The meltdown is already underway. That's
well, Ohio, the state of my birth, we just got an email from Bob Fitrakis, who is the Green Party candidate for governor, and this is entitled Ohio Meltdowns. There are three reports here. I'll just enumerate them for you briefly. In Warren County, a husband and wife were filling out their absentee ballots. The second pages were different. At 1 o'clock, the Warren County Board of Elections was meeting to decide what to do. In Cuyahoga County, memory cards for the voting machines have been put into the laptop computers at the Board of Elections, and these laptops are able to be taken home by employees. Also in Cuyahoga,
Let me jump in on that, because we've got some video of that over at Bradblog, and in fact, those are the, you know, those are the cards that we're talking about that can have a virus put on them. They're putting those cards into their own laptop machines. And you know how easy it is to get a virus from your own laptop machine. So it's incredible that that's happening. Continue. I'm sorry about that.
That's fine. Three employees in Cuyahoga, the Board of Elections, have just been fired. And Fitrakis sources tell us they were competent and good workers, so we're not sure what that means. And then in Hocking County, Mac Bailey went to vote absentee. The absentee ballot form he was given to fill out was printed so light he couldn't read it. The form would record your name, address, ID, and such information. He had to ask for help. And, I'll have to read and see what the critical issue there is. But you get the idea that in Ohio, serious problems are developing already.
And here in California, we've gotten reports that people are not getting their absentee ballots. They've requested them. They haven't shown up yet. I'm hearing reports all around the country of that. And, a few weeks ago we had reports that the voting machine companies had not, who, by the way, they're also the ones that generally print these absentee ballots, that they're not getting them to the states and counties in time to get them out to voters. It's a mess. I mean, has the meltdown begun? I would suggest it has, based on all of these reports.
Here's Jack in Seaside. Hi, Jack. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
Listen, I just wanted to comment on, I got what looks to be my official California Democratic Party voter guide. And it says that it's paid for by the California Democratic Party in Sacramento. And it lists, in addition to the major state candidate, it lists the propositions and the position of the party on the proposition. Conspicuous conspicuously missing, though, is Proposition 89. Conspicuously missing. It's very interesting. It goes right down the list of propositions with their endorsement, and then Prop 88 and 90 are the last two on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, their position on both those is no.
Jack, I got to go to a break. You're in Astute, California, and you got a slate mailer. That's what that is. Coming up, more with Brad Friedman and your calls at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teacher's highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is Hans Down, the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
12-Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addictions. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. Causes and cures, genetics or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5, with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Myrick Photographic in Monterey. Go to myrickphoto.com and get your holiday cards online. Saturdays at 4 with Sheila on KRXA. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
This is how we do it.
Yeah, this is how we do it. You just push that yellow button, and you can vote as many times as you want. It's easy.
do it. It's Friday night, and I feel alright. The party's here on the west side, so I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck.
All right, thank you, Montel. I'm Peter B. Collins. As we continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show, Montel Jordan, not, Montel Williams or whatever his name is. Brad Friedman's with us here from bradblog.com. Want to mention once again that Tuesday, Election Day, we're going to do a marathon broadcast. We'll be here for our regular show, 3 to 6 Pacific time. And then we're going to crank it up with Brad in tandem, 6 p.m. until the wee hours. We'll go at least till midnight, maybe 1 a.m., depending on the news breaking and just how fast we can digest it and pass it along to you. We're going to be live on KGOE 1480 in Eureka, live on KSAC 1240, that's Talk City in Sacramento, Sacramento's first progressive talk station. And also our flagship, KRXA 540 in Monterey. And we've just added KUDO in Anchorage. And we put out the word to dozens of radio stations today. And we'll see who else signs up between now and Tuesday. It'll be streamed on the web at KRXA540.com. You going to have it at Velvet Revolution, too?
Absolutely. This is a VR Strike Force event. So velvetrevolution.us, whiterosesociety.org. KPFTX.org, and many, many others. Everyone's invited to join. How much does it cost to join, Peter?
It's free.
Free?
It's free.
Wow.
Yes, it is. And also, I'll mention that immediately following this broadcast today, some of our listeners in Phoenix and listening on the NovaMRadio.com stream can hear Brad talking with Mike Malloy. That's coming up just about a half hour from now.
That's all Brad Radio in Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, Brad, you're a busy guy, and I know you're blogging even as we're playing commercials here during the breaks.
You noticed, did you?
And, well, I know you're a hardworking guy. I got the one email from you at 1:30 this morning, and then you were up pretty close to the crack of dawn.
Yep.
So you're working hard and sleeping little.
Yes, indeed. And one of those stories that I think we just got blogged during the commercial break here, Bob Ney, you know, your old friend from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
He's a friend of yours, isn't he?
No, sorry. I never met him.
Oh, okay. Well, he's on his way to jail, of course.
But I did used to do meth with Ted Haggard, and now I can finally admit it.
Was that? Oh, I was wondering what your other job was. Now we know.
Have you heard his denials?
Haggard's denials?
Yeah, I bought the meth, but I threw it away. I never did it.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Now, he admitted this on camera to a TV reporter from Denver, and a couple of legal experts have been cited, and they said, well, he just admitted to a felony. It doesn't matter whether you smoked it or inhaled it or whatever you do with meth. He didn't get himself any leniency by saying that.
What does it tell you when these guys would rather admit to a felony than to having gay sex with someone? You know, as the evangelical leader, he would rather go to jail for that than be known as having slept with a man.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah, it is bizarre. Mm-hmm. Now, I interrupted you about Bob Ney. He has resigned, but he hasn't been sentenced yet, right?
He has. I don't know if he has been sentenced yet. No, I don't think he has. I believe we know now that he is a felon, which means in Ohio in particular, he'll not be able to vote. Yet, we need to point out yet again, he is the author of the Help America Vote Act, which has made my life a living hell and has also made it so that the country can have almost no confidence in their electoral system. That's the bill that pushed these machines on all of us in the first place. So we're stuck with his machines. He'll be in jail, won't even be able to vote. How's that for disaster? And that's the problem here. I'll tell you, no matter what happens with the House and the Senate, you know, the laws that have been put in place by this administration, by this Congress, this country is going to be paying for even the Supreme Court justices. There is nothing that we can do to get those things back. We are stuck with those Supreme Court justices. This is why it is so important to have electoral integrity and to have an election that you can have confidence in, because no matter what happens, once these guys get in, they can wreak all sorts of havoc, and we are stuck with it.
So, Brad, in my precinct, we use a ballot with an optical scan tabulator.
Yeah.
And largely in part largely due to your efforts, at every polling place in California, an emergency paper ballot will be available. Do you suggest that I use that emergency paper ballot or the standard ballot that's going to be optically scanned?
Great question. I think that emergency paper ballot would be the one that they would likely give you in such a case at the polls. Now, you said everyone will that a paper ballot will be available. Unfortunately, that seems to be the law. That seems to be what Secretary of State Bruce McPherson has said in his secret memo, which we put out. But, in fact, people are going down here in Los Angeles to vote early, where they have only Diebold voting machines, have asked for paper ballot, and they were told that there are none available.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm getting the same reports down there from San Diego, you know, where a lawsuit was filed because the registrar, Michael Haas, one of the worst in the country, has, you know, instructed poll workers, hey, don't say anything about that paper ballot thing. And, you know, he's essentially planning to not have enough on Election Day, so people have no choice but to vote on those machines. But in California, you are entitled to one, and I hope voters go, demand one, and march straight to court if they're not given one, because it's very clear in the Secretary of State's memo that was sent out on October 3rd that every California voter may vote on paper if they wish to.
Now, we want to make a distinction here between the designation of an emergency paper ballot and a provisional ballot. A provisional ballot is given to somebody whose registration is in question or who has showed up at the wrong table or at the wrong voting place. And you're allowed to vote, and then subject to the evaluation of your registration, it'll either count or it won't. And historically, they've only had provisional ballots since 2004. But what we've seen, Brad, is that in many states, those provisional ballots never, ever, ever get counted.
Well, that's right. And I'm glad you bring that up, because the other thing the Secretary of State memo said was that those are to be counted as normal ballots. Yet you've got registrars, again, hate to pick on Michael Haas.
Oh, I know you do.
I don't want to do that. But he has announced that those paper ballots that voters request will not be counted until the Thursday after the election. So that's another point that the attorney Ken Simpkins has brought in that lawsuit, which, by the way, he brought it to a bit of news that I haven't even gotten up on Brad Blog yet, but he brought that in California Appeals Court. The Appeals Court decided they wanted to dodge the bullet entirely and said, you know what, let the Superior Court decide. So for now, it's been denied, and then he refiled it immediately thereafter yesterday in Superior Court to try to get a decision before Tuesday, so that not only will they hopefully have enough paper ballots for everyone, but they will actually count them on election night the way Bruce McPherson has sort of kind of ordered them to.
Now, back to my question. Should I use the normal ballot they assign me that'll
right.
be optically scanned?
Yeah.
Or should I ask for an emergency paper ballot and actually fill it out?
No, in your case, go ahead and use the optical scanned ballot, because that would be essentially what they would give you if you ask for a paper ballot. It's not necessarily an emergency paper ballot the way McPherson has said it. It is that any voter in California may have a paper ballot. So if you get that, you're about in as good a shape as you can be in the state if you get to vote on paper. But again, you know, with those, I don't know if you, did you happen to watch Hacking Democracy on HBO last night?
Well, I already saw it, but yes, I'm aware of it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, you know, in that film, it culminates in the hack of an optical scan Diebold voting machine where you've got paper ballots.
And my confidence went right through the roof when I saw that.
Yeah, right. Well, look, at least you end up, if you end up with an actual paper ballot that has been marked by a human being, let's say like you,
yeah.
At least you've got something to go back now and check. But you've got to audit these things and compare them against the machine totals, because as that film shows, an election could be completely flipped, and it won't result in a close election either. This is one of the things that I keep hearing from the Democrats. Oh, if there's any close elections, we'll be in there fighting it. Well, you know, guess what? How dumb do you have to be as a hacker to change it and keep the totals close? So you know, if now that we know that's when the Democrats are going to come in, if it's close, just make sure it's not close when mm-hmm. you flip that vote.
Brad, another item that originated from Humboldt County and came across in my email this morning is that the chief registrar, the voting head up there, has asked the county for additional funds to conduct a 10% audit instead of the standard 1% post-election ballots audited.
How about that, huh? That's great news, I think. That's the Carolyn Cernich, I think. Isn't she Humboldt County?
That's the name I recall, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as much as I beat up on these registrars, I like to, you know, give them kudos when they've done something right. And I think announcing that they're going to do a full 10% audit is a huge step in the right direction, and she's to be applauded, I think, for that decision, as I understand it. Let's see if the board actually gives her the money to do it. I think it's because you were up there broadcasting a couple of weeks ago that you put the fear of God into them, and they're going to try to get it right up there, perhaps.
A round of applause. All right, that's plenty. Now, Brad, I led this segment with a lift from a recent Brad blog post. Just push the yellow button and vote as many times as you want. Now, this is related to a Sequoia touchscreen machine, and apparently there's a little yellow button in the back, and if you press it, what does it do?
It's incredible. It in about 18 seconds, you can use that button, press it pretty much twice, and then follow the screen prompts to go into manual mode, which will allow any voter, precinct captain, poll worker, take your pick, to vote as many times as they want over and over again until, one of my sources on the story, Ron Watt, explained, you can vote until you're physically, the only thing that will stop you is if you're physically restrained at that point from voting anymore. It's incredible that we have certified systems in this state, in this country, like this. I mean, as a matter of fact, Sequoia is used, I think, more than any other machine in California. Some 21 counties, as I understand it, use the Sequoia touchscreen system. Now, Bruce McPherson was asked about this on the air last Tuesday. He denied knowing anything about it. He says his office wasn't contacted about it, which is just an out-and-out lie, because we've got a phone call from his office on Monday confirming the problem and confirming that they had spoken to every county in California that uses that particular system. So McPherson is out and out lying, and we are, again, the voters are the ones who are stuck with these machines. And by the way, it's not just California. We're talking about, you know, potentially hundreds of thousands of votes cast on these machines, on Sequoia touchscreen edge machines, models 1 and 2, all across the country.
Well, Brad, I learned about how to hustle an election from Boss Daley, who ran the machine in Chicago. And I think we should name that little yellow button after him. The Daley button. Vote often, vote early.
Well, they're using them in Chicago, those very machines, this November, Peter.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Brad Friedman. You got a question or comment? There's room for your call right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And if you're a candidate, remember, I will not concede until every vote is counted. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's all sing along. This land is your land.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me and in the skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for me. My footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert, and all around me a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.
This land was made for you and me, and these elections were made for Diebold and Sequoia and ES&S. It's going to be a mess on Tuesday. Do your best and be vigilant where you can. Take a video camera. There's videothevote.org that can instruct you on those efforts. Take your phone that has a camera, and if you see anything unusual, go ahead and take the picture and then let the poll worker discipline you afterward. and I believe you should be able to take a picture of your own ballot inside the voting booth if you want. I've been told that, particularly in Arizona, that is explicitly illegal. But I do think that this is a time for people to be assertive and not confrontational. I don't want to see average voters get frog marched out of your polling place. But I do think that people need to be vigilant and aggressive and aware of their rights. Brad, what would you add to the list for voter action this Tuesday?
Well, I would add, you did a great job of covering that. I would also add, I know that in California it is not against the law. I know that in Texas it is not against the law. I haven't seen Arizona, for example. I don't know what their laws actually are, but I don't think there's any law that keeps you from taking a video camera in your, in your bag, in your purse when you go in to vote. When you vote, you can, at some point, I don't want to encourage anyone to break the law, ever. But, like releasing an important document because it's in the interest of the public and the national interest, if videoing yourself voting on your own machine might potentially provide information that is useful to the public good, I suggest doing it. And, I don't want anyone to get arrested. I don't think that would ever hold up in a court of law. But, people need to realize we've got to take the country back, and this is the only way to do it, is to do the right thing. Let the bad guys come after you if they want, but if you're on the side of good, I'd like to think you will win out. And if you need help getting bailed out, let us know over at velvetrevolution.us. Oh, speaking of which, let me also add, we have just upped our $250,000 reward fund for fraud tips, and we have that 888-VOTE-TIP concerning anyone who is actually defrauding elections. It was $250,000. Now it's $500,000.
Wow.
So if you've got information, if you're an insider aware of someone using these electronic systems to flip a House or Senate race, let us know. 888-VOTE-TIP.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be the lucky winner of $500,000.
Very interesting. Now, Brad, is there are you aware of any efforts where someone will attempt to challenge the ID requirement in Arizona or elsewhere?
Well, I have not yet heard a specific charge of that, but we know they're going to challenge them everywhere. We saw that there was a booklet put out by the GOP in Maryland yesterday. This was in the Washington Post, giving them specific information and direction on how to challenge voters, and that they should tell any election judges or poll workers who are not willing to challenge the voters, threaten them that they can go to jail if they don't. So there is a concerted effort. It has already come out in Maryland, and I suspect it's going to be going on in every state, knowing how these guys operate, the bad guys like this American Center for Voting Rights group.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there fighting, and by the way, it seems as though they were involved in this in some fashion. Once again, they were quoted in Washington Post coverage of this incident. So it's going to happen, Peter, from top to bottom. It already is. They're gaming the system. The only way they can win is if Democrats don't vote. And let me just add, I just during the break there read a piece on Huffington Post saying that, all this talk of problems with the election system may make people feel like, why bother? Well, I think people who listen to the PBC show know why bother, because if you don't vote, they don't have to bother to steal it.
Right. You got to bother so that they have to overcome the margin of graft.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, where is all this talk coming from? Because I don't hear it from people. I don't hear it from voters. I don't hear it from Brad blog readers who say, boy, I read your blog, Brad, about how bad this electoral system is. Geez, why bother? I'm not even going to go vote. I don't ever hear that.
Yeah, me either.
I hear the opposite from people who know what's going on with this electoral system. They're the ones who are going to get out there, vote, and fight to make sure their vote is counted. So I don't know where it comes from. The DNC has said it to me. But, again, it seems to me like the DNC is operating out of fear rather than, courage to do the right thing. So let's do it for them.
Two quickies, Brad. Have we cleared up the issue about Smartmatic and whether the parent company that owns it is linked to the government of Venezuela?
We haven't cleared it up. Well, I think the company has cleared up that Hugo Chavez has nothing to do with it. That's what they have said. There's a congressional investigation underway. And, of course, there's only a congressional investigation underway concerning, a voting machine company that could be tied to Hugo Chavez. All of these other companies that are hard right-wing, they get a free pass, apparently.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the other quickie, and I hesitate to use the term in conjunction with Ann Coulter, but I did. What is the status of her potential prosecution for voter registration irregularities?
Well, we know that she signed her voter registration form incorrectly down in the state of Florida, which is a felony. And the election supervisor down there was investigating it. Coulter has now said she will not cooperate with that investigation, and so the supervisor has now, or will be, referring it to the prosecutor down in Florida to bring possible voter fraud charges against Ann Coulter.
Mm-hmm. And what about Brian Bilbray? Is he still under investigation for registration issues?
Oh, but it's a good thing we got a marathon broadcast coming up, because just to cover the scandals involving this Republican, we're going to need 10 hours. Bilbray, I don't know actually what the latest situation is down there. I understand a grand jury had been convened to look into the fact of whether Brian Bilbray actually lived where he said he lived. down there in San Diego where he's running against
Francine Busby.
Francine Busby.
And Francine, if you're listening, do not concede, until
Francine.
All the votes is counted. Brad, thanks for your work. People can stay tuned on the NovaMRadio.com stream or KPHX in Phoenix, because Brad will be up on the Mike Malloy show shortly after the top of the hour. And he's going to be with me Tuesday for the marathon. I hope you'll join us then. Brad, have a great weekend. Take some time off. I insist.
I'll try.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. We'll be back at you Monday at our regular time, Tuesday at our regular time, and then Tuesday all night long. Hope you'll join us.
Happy trails. Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's a stunning slap at Donald Rumsfeld. Four Gannett newspapers that serve the military, the Army Times, the Air Force Times, the Navy Times, and the Marine Times, will run editorials calling for the Defense Secretary's resignation.
Essentially, the editorial says that Secretary Rumsfeld has lost the faith of the military over which he serves, and that it would be best at this time that he be replaced.
Alex Neal is managing editor of the Army Times.
The editorial was written with the thought that the president had recently said that Rumsfeld was in for the duration, and the topic was current and fresh and important at this time.
Neal says they are not trying to influence the election. Los Alamos National Laboratory says it's treating this matter with the utmost seriousness. A recent drug raid in the area turned up classified material from the nuclear weapons lab. And CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports the woman who had it, 22-year-old Jessica Quintana, had very high security clearances.
One explanation that's been put out by the woman's lawyer is that she was perhaps taking work home at night because she wasn't finishing it during the day. Well, that's a security breach in of itself, if that's true. Security experts aren't so sure that there is such an innocent explanation. She no longer works at the lab, and when she left, she didn't return the material. Some of them were even found under a mattress in her house.
The lab says none of the material included any of the most sensitive nuclear weapons secrets. After denying he knew his accuser, Reverend Ted Haggard gave a new account today. In a brief interview with KUSA Television, Haggard said he went to male escort Mike Jones for a massage and also bought methamphetamine from Jones.
Have you ever used meth before?
No, I have not.
So,
and I did not ever use it with him.
And did you ever have sex with him?
No, I did not.
Haggard says he was tempted by meth but wound up throwing it away without trying it. Yesterday, Haggard stepped aside as pastor of the New Life Church in Colorado Springs and resigned as president of the National Association of Evangelicals. The NAE's executive committee, in a statement, says it is especially serious when a pastor and prominent Christian leader deliberately violates God's standards of conduct. New York Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle and his flight instructor were killed last month when their small plane